Okay, people, Joel Radio is back, and I'm proud to say I think this has become the biggest show of the year, Corey. I think I'm convinced.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think this is our Oscars. This is our, what is this? This is our final.
It's our Golden Gloves.
Our Super Bowl.
Our American Music Awards.
Yes, it's our.
Our MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah.
Our CMA Awards.
Yes. Our AVN Awards.
Our AVN Awards. Our Independent Spirit Awards.
Oh, yes. Joel Radio.
This is our Laugh Olympics.
It is. And we are dressed appropriately. I want to thank Corey for getting all dressed up for the occasion.
Thank you, thank you. Black tie only.
Yeah, is that a top hat and tails there? Is
you
that,
betcha.
Oh, well, only the best for Corey. I have a monocle and a walking stick today, so I just want everyone
to...
I know you can't see that, but that's what's happening, because it's the assholes of the year for 2012. Part one or two or whatever of our year-end review.
Sure.
However you want to call it.
The never-ending year-end review.
Well, everyone does a year interview. Time okay. does its That's persons good. Of the year, and who else does?
Time.
They do sportsmen of the year, yeah. and they do...
Not Newsweek. They're going under.
Well, whatever, but we do our assholes of the year. So here we go. Assholes of the year for 2012. Quite the list this year, I think. Because I think just in a thing, I know we talked about this off the air, but you estimated how many names just were in the mix.
I have like a 50.
And I'm trying to see, I mean... Let me just see if it's 3, 6, 9, 12, 14, 17, 20. I'm at a good 35.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's what we're working with. But we're going to give you our top 10.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you our top 10, and then the rest of them, we'll probably throw them in the mix to you at the end, as time allows here. So,
you betcha.
Our top 10 assholes of the year. And you're confident in your list, Corey? Do you feel like...
I feel good about it.
Because we were just talking, before the show... And somebody brought up who was brought up, like the tan mom, and I went
I know
ooh
you turned into Joe Besser
I
what did
into
you
Horshack yeah. I went
I turned into Horshack
ooh remember Horshack
ooh Mr. Cotta
yeah ooh
well he's
ooh.
Not he died so he's
died.
Not on the
he's
asshole
not on the assholes of the year list
but, his cardiologist is
but yeah I forgot right. about tan mom so I don't know how I but I would say my list is just in a general sense is your list celebrities politicians. Is it regular people who fucked up? Is it athletes? Give us a breakdown.
I attempted to cross all barriers and boundaries of. I don't maybe have a lot of true crime category
right.
nominees. I could because you could just do that. You could read. You know, you could go. There's always some guy who like gets a photo taken at the police station of him with like blue. Powder all over
You're right, a guy who was huffing, yeah.
Guy who was doing meth or something and blow, you know,
But here's the
shot.
Thing, yeah, and the thing about that, too, about just, yeah, because I tried to do that, too. I ended up with about a third of it is, like, entertainment celebrities.
Sure.
I'd say there's a name, at least one name from the world of sports in here.
Mm-hmm.
I do have politics. I have just some regular people. I have businessmen. So I got a little bit of everything. But the thing about when you bring up what is an asshole of the year, I think we should define that before we get into the list. Because I'm sure people are going to be sitting at home going, well, what about, like, some guy, and I could tell you a name. I don't want to ruin it. But let me just say this. I feel like the asshole isn't necessarily, like, there are people who do bad things.
Okay.
And that does not necessarily make you the asshole of the year. Because a bad thing is bad, but I feel like the asshole of the year is for people who were, liars and duplicity.
Sure.
And what else would I say? Just people who said one thing and did another. You know, people who lied, fibbed,
sure.
cheated, stole, you know? It's not all about, you know, the guy who shot up the whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you could have that.
Well,
you can have that.
I think there also has to be kind of a funny element to this, okay?
That, sure.
And just if we named every terrorist or every
yeah, exactly.
murderer
sure.
or and we're not going to get any credit, hopefully, to guys who run in and shoot up movie theaters or things like that. Yes. There's no funny in that.
Yeah.
We're picking people. And if you really look, and I'm sure if there were nitpickers and if people cared about this show anymore and wrote us into letters, we're called
called
the Douchebag Hotline.
610-552-0746.
It used to be on the wall. And now Joel has hung up stuff.
My bills are piling up.
Energy bills. And for some reason, Vaseline lip therapy is hanging on the wall.
Well, because I need to know where those are if I run out of one. Grab a fresh one. 610.
How your world works. 610-552-0746.
Yes, that's it.
And I will tell you, the winner tonight.
Yeah.
The guy that is unanimously was named the man or woman or child.
We'll have to decide,
Or horse.
Uh-huh.
That is named Asshole of the Year.
Yeah.
Will become the new name It'll of the be, douchebag yeah, hotline.
Will be called the so-and-so, the Joe
yes,
Blow douchebag
there it
hotline.
Is. Okay.
And I also want to say that the other thing is that one thing about the assholes of the year, too, is this. I find this when I write a list like this, is it's people who are assholes in that they were trying a lot, in many cases here, most of these, it's people who thought or were attempting to do good.
Yeah.
Who ultimately were assholes, you know what I'm saying? Or were put in the position to do something good and did something evil with it, and that's what makes you an asshole. So that's sort of
I think there's
my
a lot of different ways
this is to define, you can be but an I'm asshole. Saying in my way, in my sense. Okay.
Okay.
All right, well let's get into it then.
I believe we're going to cover all spectrums
all
of assholery.
Good.
Cuz I have a lot of names.
Good. All right. Well, listen, now you decided that you wanted to give the final name. You decided, right? Is that fair?
Sure.
Okay, well, and if I do hit one of yours, we'll skip one or vice versa, because I'm sticking with my top 10 as it's listed.
Mm-hmm.
Corey is going to pick and choose from his master list of 50, but I think you have your number one in
mind,
right?
Well, my top 10, I think, are sticking.
Yeah, are sticking. Okay, all right, well, I'll go first then anyway. Here's my number 10, asshole of the year. And this one actually was easy, but again, when I say people who do something bad, people would do, and I don't know if this person did anything bad, but certainly the impression of this person is, this is a great person. Everybody loves this girl.
Okay.
But really, she's an asshole. And that is Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift.
All right.
And Corey's like, I could take this Taylor Swift thing and run with it.
No, I just, I'm surprised by that choice.
Well,
that's interesting.
Here's why. And again, you know, I only ranked this list shortly before the show. I didn't, you know, I mean, I had who was in mind, but here's what I was thinking about Taylor Swift. She's made her money. She's made her mark on show business, where every little girl looks up to Taylor Swift because she's the girl that can't find a boyfriend. And every song is about heartache and heartbreak and these poor men. And I just can't. I'm such a good person and no one will love me.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. She's dated a dozen high-profile guys in the last 5 years. You know what that makes you? That makes you a slut.
I know.
You're not. No. I stand by this. You're not some virtuous girl who's sitting around and just hoping for guys. You want to fuck different guys. Mm-hmm. You're a star fucker, Taylor. That's what it is. Right. Oh, who'd you date? The Kennedy nephew and now the guy from One Direction and Jake Gyllenhaal and John Mayer. Way to pick regular guys. Real salt of the earth fucking shit, Taylor. Fuck you. You're a lying. You're a lying whore.
Oh, hey now,
Taylor. Who has made your money pretending to be something else. You're pretending you're something that you're not. You're full of shit, and you're an asshole. You made a lot of money fucking doing this shit, and why don't you just own up to it? Because you know what's going to happen is one day she'll write a fucking book, and she's in rehab, and she'll talk about all the dicks she sucked and fucking blah, 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 and everyone will think it'll be some great thing, and I was hiding the secret for all those years, and oh my God, I was on stage in front of all those little girls, and secretly inside, they didn't know that I was a sex addict, and all I wanted to do was blow guys, and I'd be on my knees all night, and with cum dripping down my chin, and she does a fucking book about that, and trust me, and I'm not talking it's going to happen in like 2013, this is like 2000, yeah, you want to do assholes of the year, you want to come out swinging, this is me fucking coming out swinging.
By the way. This show's not safe for work. Yeah, I don't know if you're aware.
Yeah, by the way, if your kids are, if you're on their way to school with the kids.
We should have done that disclaimer at the top of the
but
show.
But listen, Taylor Swift is one of the biggest assholes I can think of. Again, she says she's one thing. She's really, her behavior is saying one thing about her lifestyle, and her little dumb songs and her press interviews say something else.
Uh-huh.
So she needs to figure it out.
I want to back off the slut shaming a little bit.
Well, how many guys does she have to bang until she's a slut?
I'm just saying. I don't, personally, if you bang a bunch of guys, good.
Okay.
If she can bang John Mayer all she wants.
Okay.
I don't want to call the girl a whore for banging people. But I agree with you. She's selling herself as Little Miss America.
Yeah.
She's America's sweetheart. Taylor Swift. She's wearing her little prairie dresses and everything's spat.
Everything's in polka dots. Everything's in polka dots.
Yeah. You know what they're going to do? She's going to meet the boy of her dreams, and they're going to sit there and they're going to read poetry to each other on a field covered in dandelions. That's what she wants you to think. Right. Instead, T.I. is running bustos with his homies.
She's going to end up Mrs. Flo Rida, and then we're going to have to hear about that.
How many inches deep was Kanye in her
after
that when he came up and did the thing?
She was so turned on by that.
No.
She may be one of those. Yeah, you're right.
I'm with you that the disparity between the image and the reality. Now, if the reality is that she's a big old skank, good for you, Taylor.
But name me this. Okay, and listen, you can't name me a female celebrity of her stature that's dated as many high-profile guys in the last 5 years. Not Lindsay Lohan, not Kim Kardashian. No, I don't even think so.
Kim Kardashian sniffed a lot of jocks.
She was with Reggie Bush for a long time.
Yeah.
She's been with Kanye for over a year now. I don't think that's it, but I'm sorry, in pure numbers.
Jennifer Aniston was going through them pretty quick.
These guys might only get a finger inside Taylor. You know, maybe that's the case. But something's going on there. I don't like it.
All right. Well, that's a good one.
Good to start with.
I don't know if I can top it. I have so many ways to go here. You know, I have so many.
Right. And like I said, you know, I got a couple celebutards on there, but then I got some I got some real evil folks on here.
We're talking about flaming disasters.
Sure.
And this one is, he's been an asshole for a long time, but this he finally fell apart in the last couple months.
This one was the end of it.
And a gentleman by the name of Cat Williams. I don't know if you're familiar with his work. Cat Williams.
Yes, I've been ignoring the comedic work of Cat Williams for about a good decade now, so I'm more than familiar.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with Cat Williams, he's about 4'9".
Yeah.
Now, how tall is he really?
I don't know. I literally avoid Cat Williams. When people tell me, I've known people in my personal life who said, you know who I love in comedy? Cat Williams. And I go, okay, please never speak to me again. Because I guess his deal is that he was a pimp, or that all of his jokes.
His jokes are about
I'm pimping. I'm a pimp drug dealer.
He wears pimp suits.
Oh, stop it.
He wears a big, you know, big, giant, oversized zoot suity kind of stuff. Although everything's oversized because he's a tiny little wee pocket man. I'd like to have Cat Williams and Kevin Hart stand next to each other. Kevin Hart is three apples high.
I did a 5-year engagement with Kevin Hart. He's a tiny man.
Yeah, Kevin's actually nice. Yeah. I met him, but he's tiny. He's pocket size. So is Cat Williams, who I hear from everybody is a huge flaming asshole.
Well,
and he's been on a tour. And he's been melting down on this tour.
He's arrest warrants, drunk driving.
Arrest warrants, drunk driving, getting in fights. He did a show, I want to say, he was on the West Coast somewhere.
Yeah.
And he just went off on a guy, and like, the show stopped. Halfway through the show, he went off on a, motherfucker, I wish you would! You know, and he went off and just was, I will step a foot in your whole ass, and just went off on the guy in an unfunny way for about 10 minutes, and then walked off stage. And then the crowd turned on him and booed him and wanted their money back. And then he went to Seattle and they booed him there when he got there because he's a hot mess. And then he retired.
And he came out of retirement, too. That's the thing.
Well, this is great. He retired like 2 weeks.
Right.
And he retired. And then his managers went, you got like 5 dates left on this tour.
Yeah.
You better unretire, you little black ass, and get out there and make that money.
By the way, what kind of management you think is not in that?
No, they looked and they went, we got 5 more dates at like $30K a pop here, so let's get back on that road.
Yeah.
And so he unretired in a hurry.
Yeah.
He brought to comedy the sort of douchey vibe that only found by the likes of T.O., I mean, you normally have to be Terrell Owens to be this douchey.
Right. Yeah, you know.
But he brought it to the comedy environment. So I don't think you're funny. I don't think you're sane. I don't think you're sober.
Yeah.
I think you need rehab and some time off.
Yeah.
And you know what? Fine. Come at me, little man, because you better. Because I outweigh you by 200 pounds.
Well, you know, the thing with him is there's no self-awareness about how crazy he is.
Right.
Where if he had that, he might try to go get some help and then come back. But, you know,
The best kind of crazy, though.
Yeah.
When he completely don't think they're crazy.
Well, but, you know, he's a guy that's going to end up like ODB and he'll die or something. Or he'll just, you know, whatever. Because you can only go on living this lifestyle.
Well, a day ago, he's wanted by the Seattle police. I mean, you know what I mean? He's gone.
Where's he not wanted?
He's gone full on crazy.
Sure. Okay.
So an alleged one-man crime spree.
A fine choice.
Two arrests Wednesday for the Seattle Municipal Court. So please, Kat, for the sake of people that love hacky, mediocre, black, Def Jam comedy, if you could please just not die until we do another death list.
Okay.
So until we do another
death pool.
Until we do another death pool.
Yeah, that's first round draft choice.
In case we do another one. All right.
Yeah, Kat didn't make my top 10, but he was right. I had him on my list of extras here, so certainly a fine choice. I'm going to go into the realm of politics here for my number 9. And I know this is in your wheelhouse more than mine, because I really don't care about politics all that much. Or I sort of feel that everyone's an asshole, at least on some level in politics. But this guy's not even an elected official, and that's what makes this guy super dick. Super asshole is this guy. His name, and a lot of people might not know his name, but he's been in the news a lot in the last couple weeks, is Grover Nordquist.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, Corey knows what Grover Nordquist is all about. He is a lobbyist, okay? Mm-hmm. And he has one issue that he lobbies for, and that is no new taxes, no raising of taxes. And when congressmen are sworn in, and I think it's all Republican, I think some Democrats have taken his pledge.
I think
he asks you to say, I will take a pledge that I will not raise taxes. And you sign a certificate that hangs on Grover's wall in his office, because I've seen that on 60 Minutes. And Grover says, if you raise taxes and you break your pledge, that I will do all in my power as a lobbyist to run against you to help your opponent get you out of office in the next election.
He will fund primary challenges.
Yes. Okay. Now, here's my thing with Grover Nordquist. Now, listen. There's a lot of lobbyists in Washington, and they're assholes, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But here's my thing with him. You're a guy, and it's like the taxes thing I get. I don't really want to pay new taxes. I don't really want Congress putting new taxes on us. But here's the thing. Anybody who's a one-issue man, if all you care about is the raising of taxes to the exclusion of anything else, not that the fact that raising taxes may help us balance the budget, not that it may help fund programs that we need or fund infrastructure for things that we need. You know what I mean? It's like anybody. Think about an environmentalist, like the crazy environmentalist. Mm-hmm. One issue to the extent of everything else. Animal rights people. One issue. All we care about is animal rights. We don't care about people. Fuck them. And I feel like that's what Grover Nordquist is all about. Mm-hmm. It's all about one issue. He doesn't see the big picture.
Right.
And I'm not for tax increases, but you know what? If in the big picture they're the right thing to do, sometimes you got to do them.
Right.
And if I'm a congressman, I don't want to sign this fucking pledge and sit there and be beholden to you. What looks like is going to happen is a lot of congressmen are going to break this pledge, and it's going to be so many that Nordquist isn't really going to have the muscle to fight back against that many members of Congress. And this guy's going to wither and go away and die, hopefully.
Well,
and I think that might be what ultimately happens, because we're right at the end of the year and we don't know what's going on with this fiscal cliff and if they're going to raise taxes or not.
I think more importantly, what happened after the election was that a lot of the people that Nordquist had backed against moderate Republicans, Tea Party people, got bounced right on their ass.
Yeah, well, that could be
so a lot of the Tea Party success went, that was all hot.
He was taking credit for that. Yeah,
they all went cold as ice this year, and a lot of the Tea Party congressmen that were in 2 years ago
so,
got bounced straight out. So suddenly people looked and went, "Oh, what is this guy?"
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
And also the thing about Grover Nordquist is his name is Grover. First of all, I mean that's a stupid name.
It is a dumb name.
The guy himself and personally, now I find him annoying because, for a lot of reasons, he's this bullshitty conservative libertarian.
Well, but there's a million guys like that.
You're right in that if you sign a pledge of any kind saying, okay, if you're in Congress, all you can really do, you have the power to assign taxes.
Yeah.
You have the power to, you're impaneled to, you deal with the budget.
Sure.
You can call hearings, congressional hearings, and occasionally Congress has the power to imprison someone. But you know what I mean? There's limited powers of Congress, but like the biggest one is taxes.
Yeah.
So if you sign a pledge like, I'm not going to do my job.
Exactly.
Then
that's
you're
part
basically
of it,
just, you're really screwing up the works.
Yeah. You're really just going to Congress and sitting on your hands and doing nothing.
Right.
And people don't want to do nothing, Congress.
Now, I'm not saying tax me more because I don't think anybody
nobody
is saying that.
Yeah.
But this Nordquist guy acts like he is some sort of unelected potentate.
Yeah.
He's annoying. If you listen to the guy, he's got this real nerdy voice. He's just a smug fathead.
Right. He's the least fun guy you'll ever want to meet,
absolutely.
I'm sure. But yeah, he really does seem like one of these guys who for years, and especially like during, you know, during Obama's first, you know, I guess we're still in his first, administration here. But he just was a guy who was like, look, if anyone fucks with me, they're going down. I have the power. And now it's like, you know what? Maybe you don't have the power anymore and you need to shut up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this guy's flapping his gums about this fiscal cliff.
That's
and,
a very good pick. I like that.
Grover Norquist, my number nine. Let's give us a number nine, Corey.
Where do I go from here? Boy, Grover Norquist. Let us go to a gentleman named Gregory F. Rayburn.
I don't know who that is.
Are you familiar with his work? No? No?
He was the third baseman for the Minnesota Twins. No? Okay.
CEO for the Hostess Company.
Oh, Hostess.
Gregory F. Rayburn. Now here's the deal. Okay, I'm a progressive, and I will say this. I'm sure that the union probably played a role in the Hostess situation. I'm sure that truck drivers for Hostess were paid too much. And probably more importantly, there were probably rules in the Hostess bakery contract that the union pushed for, like Hostess truck drivers can only carry Hostess products and they can't you know what I mean? They couldn't deliver other products to the stores, which then limited them.
They were trying to control the market a little bit, Hostess.
I guarantee that they probably had some things that the union pushed for and won in the contracts that were probably bad for the health of the company. But this Rayburn guy gave himself a raise as the company was dying.
Yeah.
And now it comes out that he and the other CEO and the other executives of the company, one, he got like a massive, like $4 or $5 million bonus. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the executives got like a 15-20% raise. He got an 80% raise. Then they find out that they were taking money from the pension fund to fund these cost increases for the CEOs as the company was struggling to stay alive.
Yeah.
You're a douche.
Well, he ran his company into the ground. And
exactly.
First of all,
your company, to begin with, I know everybody's getting nostalgic. I know every comic's got a joke about a Twinkie. Yeah. I know we all look back on our childhoods and we go, oh, I love the ho-hos and the Twinkie. That's the worst garbage you can possibly give to kids, right?
Well, yeah.
Ding-dongs,
ho-hos,
Twinkies.
From what I understand, the beginning of the end of the Hostess Corporation was a lot of the stuff that happened in the 90s and the 2000s where there was this health kick. And they were making school lunches better for kids and all of these initiatives. And a lot of that really squeezed Hostess to the point where their volume was low. And I guess in that industry, because it is, families buying stuff for their kids, that the prices have to be low. And therefore, you have very low margins. And if you can't do the volume anymore on a low margin business, you're going to be in trouble financially. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any excuses for why this guy was taking
bonuses.
There's
only so much you can charge for frosting and flour. Yeah.
So basically, when you have this low margin business and your volume, you have to sell volume. And as your volume shifts, and then, as it becomes a mature company, you've got the workers wanting more money. The whole recipe, it's a recipe for disaster. And, a good CEO would have avoided it. And so I agree with that.
I think this guy, now I'm sure that there were problems at Hostess long before. This guy seems like he's a guy who kind of bounces from company to company to try and he's been CEO of 100 places.
Have they failed? Or
I think he's kind of a restructure.
Yeah, he's a guy that comes in and saves. Yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't save anything.
Well, fuck.
And they pulled a real Bain Capital sort of scenario in which they bled what they could out of the company before they took it and drove it right over the cliff.
Well,
and you know what? Twinkies have been gone now for a couple of weeks. There's not on the store shelves.
Sure.
You missing one? Do you really?
No, I can't remember the last time I had a Twinkie.
I haven't had a Twinkie in years.
Have I had an apple pie, like a Hostess apple pie, in the last decade? Probably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, Hostess is just not part of my life.
No.
And
I
ate the little donuts. Those I would get occasionally for breakfast.
Sure.
I would go and get either the little sleeve or get the box.
They've been on your training table for years. No, I'm thinking it's been at least a good 5-6 years.
But I think I can still get a little donut from somewhere. I don't need to have those Hostess donuts.
But you know what, though? I do think that this speaks to, you're right, changing tastes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really think that America's taste in food is changing a little bit. And all the processed crap that we've lived on for years is starting to lose a little
steam. A lot of bakeries and baked goods now, too, are being done locally, and it's stuff like people making them in-store. And Dunkin' Donuts does very well in places like that. Those Tim Hortons is everywhere now. So I think
the tastes have shifted.
People are still buying baked goods.
Right.
They're just not buying the Hostess. Because part of the thing, too, was that, the Twinkie always had the thing about, you could leave a Twinkie in a, a Twinkie will last for 300 years, and you don't even, you know, it's so full of. And I think that hurt the.
Oh, absolutely.
Reputation of the company. All right, so good pick. Number nine.
What a dick. All right.
Exactly.
There you go.
Now, here's a guy, number eight, and I got a couple of these on list. Here's a guy we both like. At least we both like this guy's work. And he's an asshole for a completely different reason, I think, than you might think. But again, I go to hypocrisy. I go to people saying one thing, doing another. Although this guy, well, I feel like this guy has a responsibility that he didn't follow through on. His name is Jack Houston.
No.
Jack Houston is an
actor. What did Jack Houston
I see. Yeah, I know. We both like Jack Houston, right?
He's on Boardwalk Empire.
He's an actor. He's on Boardwalk Empire. He plays Mr. Harrow.
He's in the guy with half a face. Fade Away.
Yeah. He's the guy with half a face, Boardwalk Empire, maybe the greatest character on television. I think we can both agree on that.
Good character.
Fantastic, creepy, scary, and yet warm-hearted. He somehow manages Jack Houston. This guy's such an actor. From the famous Houston acting family. He is the grandson of John Houston.
Yeah. Is he related to Danny?
Danny I think, is uncle. Yeah. I think Danny and Angelica are his aunt and uncle, so. So Jack Houston, again, he's in a movie called Not Fade Away that David Chase made and is coming out this holiday season. But here's why Jack Houston is the asshole of the year. I'm watching Pardon the Interruption.
Okay.
And on comes a tequila commercial with some fucking guy talking about, oh, when I go to the club, I got to have this tequila. It's the best thing ever. And I'm looking at this guy and I go, who is this fucking guy? The guy looks familiar, but I'm not sure. And it's fucking, and it's not like, hey, I'm Jack Houston for tequila. He's just playing.
Playing a part.
It's a celebrity endorsement, but they never tell you this is Jack Houston. But he has the mustache, the Mr. Hair thing, and he's all like, wow, man, I can't wait, man. We're going out, we're clubbing now, we're drinking vodka. And I'm like, wait a minute. You play the creepiest, like most mysterious character on television. And you're ruining the whole fucking mystique of your thing by doing a fucking tequila commercial.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you thinking? Who's your agent? Well, you're ruining. And maybe he's like, oh, I don't want to be typecast as the creepy guy, and so I'll do this Not Fade Away, which he's good in that movie, Not Fade Away. He's good in that. But, you know, it's like, can't you just embrace your, at least till your run's over on Boardwalk, at least till they kill your guy off like they kill off everybody on Boardwalk Empire, you can't not do a fucking cheesy tequila commercial?
Wow.
What the fuck is the matter with you?
I did not see this commercial.
Yeah, it's been on PT, it's on all those shows. Well, but, you know, you might see it and not even know it's him, though, because it's so.
Well, you know what?
Like, it is him. I mean, it's not like, it's not, he's not like playing an actor.
I'm going to call this one a dubious call, Joel.
Why?
Because the guy's not known. Here's the thing about him.
No.
He plays a character with half a face.
Right.
So he's not known. He wears a mask.
But
so he's not known.
He has the mustache. No. He has the mustache.
Well,
in the Tinky commercial, he has the Mr. Harrow mustache.
What do you think about Jerry Lambert, who played Kevin Butler in the Sony commercials?
Oh, well, that guy.
Did a commercial.
No, you're right about that.
He went and did a commercial. Sure. He's known as the Sony guy.
The Sony guy.
And he went and did a commercial where he's seen playing a Wii in the spot.
Yes.
And then Sony.
Right.
Is that bad?
They haven't figured out legally what he did right or wrong. But yeah, it seems like that would be wrong, too. I agree with you. It's sort of the same thing.
Okay.
It's sort of the same thing. But I just feel like, Jack Houston, man, you got this promising career ahead of yourself, and you need to.
Why are you doing a commercial?
Yeah, and look, I know HBO, what I've heard from people, like in comedy, that know HBO.
They don't pay much,
and I'm sure the budget for Boardwalk Empire is not as big as we all think it is, and he needs to get paid and all this stuff. But Jesus fucking Christ, dude, you got to do tequila? Yeah. I mean, of all the. I mean, like, I get that you're going to do bad movies, like Not Fade Away. I get that. I get you're going to do these things that are offered to you, but a fucking tequila commercial?
This goes back to Woody Allen had a bit in his act about endorsing vodka.
Yeah.
And he called up, and the guy called him up, and he went off and ran like, I'm an artist.
Yeah.
I don't know, pander.
Yeah.
I do not drink vodka, and if I did, I would not drink Smirnoff. It pays how much? Let me put Mr. Allen on the phone. Yeah. So, and that's a whole bad, that's a terrible Woody Allen impression, but... I'm gonna. You know, I get your point.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Plus,
if he would've
been... I mean, who is he? Because like Michael Imperioli did a bunch of these. You know, he was doing a tequila thing, but you know, Sopranos was over. He kind of earned his bones in the business. Jack Houston's a guy that's done one thing that anyone knows, and he's already ruining. He's already selling out his image. He's already selling out his. You know, Leo DiCaprio didn't get famous doing fucking vodka ads. You know what I mean? Mellow out with all that shit. People love you. People love that character you're doing. You're making yourself look good. Because to be honest with you, before that, and like really, I mean, I wouldn't know who Jack Houston was.
Right.
If you saw Jack Houston on a red carpet, you wouldn't know he's the guy from Boardwalk Empire. And maybe the commercial's kind of working that way. Like, maybe people don't know who he is, but maybe he's sort of recognizable. Like, you're like, oh, who is that guy? And then you have to figure it out. But yeah. I just think it's dicky. I think it's dicky.
Well,
you
all right.
You don't need it. You don't need it. All right.
Here's a guy who's a known,
Corey's
guaranteed dick.
Number eight from Corey.
Well-known dick.
Well-known dick.
And I believe you're familiar with this gentleman.
What's his
name? Mr. Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Founder of Facebook.
Right. You could stop right there, but yeah. I want to know what in 2012 he did.
Mythologized.
To single himself out this
right,
year.
Sure. Well, happy. One, he's got a drawer with eight t-shirts, which we learned on 60 Minutes. Right?
Oh, did they do 60
Yeah, they did a profile
him?
Of him.
I missed that, but I'm
and
guessing.
He's like, I've got a lot of the same shirts, yeah, and I just yeah. wear them over. You know, I like sure. my wardrobe. To yeah. be some... One, he's this sort of borderline spectrum. I'm sure Matt McClowery would tell us right. where he was on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Autistic freak.
Yeah.
And the guy's a real a nebbish and a schnur.
Uh-huh.
He got married. Good for him. He got a submissive Asian bitch to put up with his nonsense. But here's my deal. One, Facebook has enslaved the souls of all mankind.
Yes.
Most of all, me. I work in the fields of Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
I'm on Facebook a lot.
Yeah.
Now, part of that is just me because I'm a gadfly and I like to make comments and be funny on there.
Okay.
But I'm also on there because it really you have to be. Because yeah. you have to, as a comedian, you have to put
you have
your
to
stuff
network
up there.
And promote yourself.
You have to talk
and,
to, you know what I mean? I'm sure, always sure, looking sure. for gigs on there, whatever. So we're all in shackled.
Sure.
We're like the spirits that Xenon from L. Ron Hubbard's Dianetics sent into the volcano or
right.
Facebook, okay? We're all tortured souls from a yeah. distant star empire working for Mark Zuckerberg with the Farmville requests and the Words with Friends
yeah.
and all that bullshit. But the guy took his company on an IPO adventure this year.
Yeah.
All right? The initial purchase offer. Yeah. He took the company public on the stock market.
Yeah, go ahead.
Initial public offer.
Yes.
This stock tanked so bad.
It did, yes.
It just took a belly flop.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what it is? It opened at $42 a share.
Yeah.
You know what it is today?
What is it?
$28
okay.
a share.
Okay, all right.
Now, you would have taken a bath if you bought that stock.
Yeah.
And you would have, you know, you're not doing well.
Yeah.
Now, granted, $28 isn't terrible. It's not 2 cents a stock, but it yeah. should, it's not going to get better.
Well, if you bought it at 40, if you bought it at 47, you lost half your money. Almost.
And more importantly, now, granted, what goes on in the market, I think, doesn't affect a lot of people.
No.
I think that the market, there's only so many, yeah. there's, I don't know what the percentage is. Mm-hmm. But it's a fairly limited percentage of people that if you looked at the 320 million people in America, yeah. how many of or
well,
in the world,
one single stock does not affect millions and millions of people. But
in the case of Facebook, I bet there were people that jumped on board because they thought, oh, I got to have a piece of Facebook.
Well, yeah,
I think it attracted. And the reason that it was getting a lot of overvaluation at the time. That it entered in the market was that people were expecting it to be a stock that attracted
yeah, yeah.
first-time buyers
yeah.
and people who were speculating on it, and it did nothing.
Google
it did bupkis.
Went through the roof, but you know, the thing is, Facebook became an IPO way too late. They should have went public like 2 years ago while they were still growing. And the problem is, mm-hmm. everybody you know, every grandmother in the world has a Facebook. So the thing is, how do you grow? How do you add new people to Facebook? They're being born, I suppose. I mean, but then people are, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's really no way to make your, you know.
They're starting to top out.
You need to make people use Facebook more, ultimately, mm-hmm. to make it more attractive for advertisers.
Yeah, and that's what they do. They're
addicted. But, you know, at the same time, I don't know that that's working. So, yeah, okay, I kind of get that. I mean.
Also, Facebook changes their rules and their privacy
they do, yeah.
settings.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. You're right. Now that they've got 300 billion people, what I don't know what there's not 300 yeah. people, billion people, but however many hundreds of millions of people are on that Facebook now, they got to find something to do.
Yeah.
So Zuckerberg directs his little network of ninnies out there in Silicon Valley. You know what I mean?
Sure.
His thousands of sexless fucking dorks and his hipster armada. And they all sit around and tweak and go, well, how can we find other ways to exploit and manipulate people's privacy and their we can get all the information and data and mine it and send it to other companies.
Yeah.
So Facebook is inherently, it's a tool that is effective on a certain level.
Yeah.
There are people I communicate with through Facebook that I would probably not really be able to communicate with
yeah.
the old-fashioned way
sure.
very often.
Yeah.
But it also keeps people from ever using the phone.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how easy is it to call somebody? Now, maybe I'm like a girl and I like to talk on the phone. But you and I talk on the phone all, you know.
Sure, we talk more on the phone than we ever would on
several
Facebook.
Several times a week.
Yes.
But because
in 2012, I sent you 3 Facebook messages.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there was no
Well, but there's no reason why you
Right, exactly. Yeah. But
because, you know what I mean? But my real friends, I don't talk to them on Facebook.
Yeah.
I talk to people who I talk to occasionally.
Acquaintances you'll do with.
Well, there's some close friends.
Well, I had this happen with. There was this girl, and there was somebody's wedding. Somebody was getting married, and it was a big deal because it was like one of her good friends. And I hadn't seen her in a while, and I said, oh, well, how was your. How was the big wedding? I know you were excited for it. And she goes, all the pictures were on Facebook. Oh, my God. Like, she couldn't even, like, tell me what happened because I was supposed to know because it was on Facebook. Like, I was supposed to already have that portion of your life ingrained in my skull because you put up some stupid pictures of you in a party dress. It's like, what the fuck?
Now, we didn't care. In my case, people put up pictures and we were like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Right.
But we went to a wedding.
I've heard about this.
Where the bride was upset because other people beat her to putting
the
pictures up.
Exactly, yeah.
She didn't, like, hit the pictures back. She was waiting for the photographer to send her pictures back. And then, like, the next day after the wedding, people had all her
pictures.
People
are putting up the Facebook pictures during the wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was mad. The bride was mad. But you know what? Ultimately, this week, some friends of mine put up some, like, 15-year-old pictures of me.
Yeah, I saw those.
There were a bunch of pictures, right? And some of them were 15, 20 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I look ridiculous in some of them.
Sure.
I can't control that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I don't get upset about it because that's sadly how I looked when I was 20. But you know what I mean? Like, people put these pictures up and I go, I don't know if I really want that up, but I can't do anything about it.
You can't do anything about it, so.
I could send them a message.
You can take your tag off. If they tag you, you can take the tag off.
Yeah, I know, but still, the point is.
It won't show up on your
feed. I feel like a yutz telling somebody to untag
me
because. I'm a comic, so I'm supposed to. Yeah. I'm a public figure to a certain extent, not a very public.
You don't want to be the asshole of the year.
No. So Mark Zuckerberg, kiss my grits.
Well, yeah, I think I agree with you. He got the IPO too late, but you know that's the only way that when these guys are creating something, these guys that create websites and all these things, ultimately that's their payday is the IPO, and so you can't not do it. You know, I don't think there's a way. I mean, he could have sold Facebook outright. Privately to Microsoft or somebody or Google, but he went IPO and he did what he did. So
there you go.
You know, again, when they made that movie about him and everyone was going crazy, I was like, you know, I think this Facebook thing, I don't think this is going to last.
Well,
and it's lasted since that movie.
It's still lasting, and
we'll see if we don't look back.
But you know what?
It may look like a roller skating movie from the 70s.
Yeah,
in 20 years.
At one point, Tom from MySpace was doing the Boogie Nights spin. He had his own, you know what I mean? He was like he was like Steve Martin in The Jerk.
Well, do you remember?
He was like, he had his own disco room, and he could do it wrong.
Do you remember Funny People? That was they went to the MySpace party.
Right. Yeah.
And they entertained, and Tom's
and
in the
MySpace?
Movie. Yeah, and where's MySpace? They were the giant corporate party. With who was singing at the MySpace party? It was
ridiculous. Whatever, yeah.
I think they wanted...
Eminem was there and stuff.
Oh, it was great. Anyway. All right. Okay, so now on to my number 7. Right? I'm ahead of you, right? Number 7. Okay. Now, again, I like to do specifics for number 7, but number 7 is not specific, unfortunately. Mm. It is just a phenomenon. This may be more of a phenomenon than a person to be the asshole of the year, but this could be you, Corey. This could be anyone listening that might fall into this group. So let me explain this. Number 7 on my list of the assholes of the year is anyone who thinks that the Gangnam Style is funny. And what I mean by that is every fucking TV show, every fucking morning host thing, every sports clip you see of a guy on the field and somebody does a Gangnam Style dance, people laugh like it's the funniest fucking thing you've ever seen. Corey, I would do the Gangnam Style dance right now, but I'm afraid you would fall over in hysterics and crack your head open because it's the funniest thing, a guy dancing like he's riding a horse. It's the greatest thing in the history of comedy, Corey.
But here's the...
Nothing has surpassed the Gangnam Style.
It's
the funniest thing.
I just added Psy to my list, the guy who made the Gangnam Style
video. I didn't pick Psy, and here's why.
Because he just made the video.
He just made the dance. You can't blame him.
Yeah.
You can't blame him. And by the way, all the YouTube clicks on him are Jive. Do you know that?
Oh,
Well, here's the thing. They took away like half of them, like Google did, because they figured out they were bogus. But the other thing you have to remember about...
They were
robo. Yeah, they were robo. They were somehow done through proxies or whatever. But it's still considered the number one video on YouTube of all time. Well, but what you have to remember is that the way that people use YouTube, you and I don't use it for this, but when people want to listen to that song, they go to YouTube. So really what you have is not people watching the Gangnam Style video. What they do is they have it on their phone is plugged into their car, they go to YouTube, they put it, and now they're listening to the song, and people like the song. So to say that that really counts, so that's kind of jive too. But my element is...
How much did that guy actually make off this?
I don't know. You know, the guy's from Korea, he probably made 5 cents.
That's the thing.
He's probably going to end up in a prison camp or something,
that's the
this
thing.
Guy.
He has, what, 80 million hits or something? Right. Now you say they're fake. And in Korea,
but it's still a giant thing.
By the way, South Korea is a place where a couple let their child starve to death because they were at an internet cafe playing...
Yeah.
Some kind of
StarCraft or something. Yeah,
some kind of Warcraft kind of game.
Well, listen,
I mean, it's
and the Korean government could forcibly make people sit there all day and click on Gangnam Style. You don't know what's going on over there in that fucking third world country.
Well,
but listen,
you know.
But my point isn't so much Psy. Hey, listen, the guy made a song. I mean, the thing about "Let's Destroy Americans" from a few years ago that came out this week was annoying. You know that.
Yeah.
I could call him the asshole of the year for that. But my thing is just like, you know what? We've all seen the Gangnam Style dance. We've all seen it a million times done by, you know, the hosts of Access Hollywood to the guys on Fox NFL Sunday. At what point does it cease? At what point does the joke bomb? Like, does that ever not make somebody? Will somebody do a Gangnam Style dance?
Yes.
And people just sit there and just kind of go like,
"We are no, you know, we're,
yeah, no, but no
we're,
one does." I
hold on, it's we're doing this right now in December.
Yes,
you come to me in February.
That's what you're thinking,
and you say,
"Okay,
when will people talk about Gangnam Style?"
Yeah,
they won't say one word about Gangnam Style.
Yeah.
Past maybe February 3rd.
Well, that's what you're thinking. But it's been going on since the summer.
Let me throw out a name for you.
Go ahead.
Lou Vega.
Okay, I know what you're saying.
Mambo number 5.
Okay, Mambo number 5.
A little bit of Monica in my life.
Right.
A little bit of Rita all night long.
Yeah.
That guy, you couldn't get arrested.
Okay.
You know what I mean? This happens all the time.
But I know,
Macarena.
But
let's talk
at
about...
what point... Okay, the Macarena is the closest thing to this Gangnam Style in terms of... the phenomenon of it, but it has to end. Some I'm saying it's enough. I'm saying it ceased to be funny after the first month of this, and people are still doing it, and people are still reacting to it as if you know, oh my God, that's the fun. Like, Joel, I've never seen a funnier thing.
Joel, some people have responses to the world that are slower than ours.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
No, I know that's dumb.
It's just it's over.
I'm with you.
Get it out.
All
right. Not funny. Get out with that.
I didn't think it was funny to begin with.
You never thought it was. Maybe you saw it once and you thought it was funny. Maybe you saw it twice. It's been, we're 8 months into this Gangnam Style. It's enough.
People thought Rebecca Black was funny for five minutes. Although that went away quick.
But you know what? That, it's, I mean, it's really just a guy doing a dance. It's really not even funny on its whole. You know, Fred Astaire dances. Where's the laughter? You know what I mean? Like, what, you know, like, what is funny about that? I don't get what's fucking funny about the fucking Gangnam fucking Style.
All right.
Dance.
Relax.
All right. It's my number
Joel,
seven.
Joel, have a breath.
It's my number 7.
I like that I'm being the calm, reasonable.
Yeah, well, you want to get me fired up,
man.
Oh, baby.
My God, this Gangnam Style.
You want some people, I can't even say, go ahead.
All right, I got so many places to go here.
Well, number 7 from Corey Hall.
Let's go.
America's finest film critic.
I'm just going to throw Titus Young out. I'm not using him.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, he could have made it.
Okay, he was a Lions receiver.
So. I'm going to go with Kevin Clash, everybody.
Kevin Clash.
Number 7.
By the way, you've nailed my number 4. I could not have Kevin Clash.
I figured he was probably on
the
list.
Yeah, Kevin Clash. We all know what he did, but go ahead and since
you... Oh, Kevin Clash. Kevin Clash is the voice of Elmo.
Yes.
He's also the voice of Hoots the Owl, but nobody gives a shit about him.
What is Hoots the Owl from?
He's a jazz playing owl on Sesame Street.
Oh, I don't even know.
He does a couple other characters.
Believe it or not, I haven't seen Sesame Street in a while since I'm 40 fucking years old, but go ahead.
Sure. I have friends with children.
Yeah, okay.
I'm aware.
I have no friends.
You know what's funny? Sometimes we would actually watch Sesame Street. Like, Amy would be like, going to school and eating her cereal, and Sesame Street would be on. Here's the deal. Kevin Clash is, and he's been a Muppeteer since the mid 80s. I mean, he tutored under Jim Henson.
All right.
And here's the deal. Comes out, Kevin Clash was having gay relationships with underage boys.
That's what's the alleged, yeah.
Yeah, but...
He's fessed up to relationships with older than... Sure. Yeah,
and you know what? Are you shocked at a guy who spent his adult life talking like this?
On his knees.
Is gay.
I know.
He's been sticking his hand up a puppet's ass for 30 years.
I agree with you.
Are you shocked that the guy... And here's the thing. I made peace with Elmo.
Yeah.
But when Elmo first became popular...
Sure.
I, of course, as many Gen Xers did, right, turned my nose right up at Elmo and said,
I agree.
Fuck this noise.
Yeah.
You're no Oscar.
Yeah.
Sir, you're no Grover. Not Norquist, but the real Grover.
He's a real Grover.
You are no Ernie or Bert.
Yeah.
You, sir, are a pretender to the Sesame Street throne. Mm-hmm. Because the Sesame Street characters mean something to me.
Yeah.
As, you know, and they mean all of our generation, right? Yeah. The Sesame Street, if they don't,
right,
you don't have some connection to the Muppets or the Sesame Street Muppets, then you're wrong.
Yeah.
And I love the Muppet stuff.
But Elmo from the get-go was pandering to children, you know, because everybody, you know, Cookie Monster was kind of gruff and Grover was kind of stupid,
right,
and they all had these personality quirks. And then you get Elmo who's just, I'm all full of love, I'm Elmo.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's annoying. You know, we don't need that.
It is an annoying character. Yeah. I eventually kind of made peace with Elmo,
right,
and found that kids loved him.
Yeah.
And I kind of got why, right, people liked Elmo.
But he's sort of the Bruce Johnson of Sesame,
yes,
Street. He was added later. You're not original.
Well, Kevin Clash then, yeah, went, and then Elmo went from being a supporting character, yeah, to being the star of Sesame Street.
Sure.
And then Kevin Clash, after Henson died, became like the captain of the Muppets. He,
yeah,
became the big man on campus. And he's been running this gig. And a documentary came out about him earlier this year,
uh-huh,
about what a wonderful guy he is.
Right.
Now he's in it for the kids. And he's meanwhile out there banging 17-year-old twinks.
What's he going? He's going on Craigslist and hiring like for like BDSM and stuff. Wasn't that what he was doing?
And it's, to me, I don't care if you're gay.
Yeah, I don't care either.
I don't really even care if you bang an 18, 19-year-old
I don't
kids.
Care either.
But if you're 40 and you're banging 17,
yeah,
years,
it's,
you're doing
it,
something
it gets
wrong.
Creepy, yeah.
And you're doing it while you're the most famed,
yeah,
children's entertainer,
yeah,
in the world.
Keep it on lockdown.
Jim Henson, no one ever said one word about
nothing.
Jim Henson,
yeah,
being up to no good. And you know,
right,
why? Because he wasn't.
Well, yeah, other than the fact that he was like a Christian scientist and,
yeah, but,
let himself die from
a
stupid
disease. But that was a self-inflicted
wound.
That
was, okay, yeah.
That was something stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was no scandal ever about Jim Henson.
Right.
And so the legacy of Jim Henson remains intact.
Sure.
And people can look at him and go, wow, what a great guy. Now, also Jim Henson was a man.
Yeah.
And like after he got divorced, banged like Daryl Hannah and stuff like that.
Right,
oh,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Right, okay, but I mean, you know.
But this is what, and Frank Oz and all, mm-hmm, the guys, the original Muppeteers,
yeah,
Jerry Nelson, I'm a big Muppet nerd.
Yeah.
All the original Muppeteers, you never heard shit about them. You know why? Because they were good guys.
Right.
This schnook,
yeah,
has the keys to the kingdom and he gets busted. And you know what? He also paid the kid off to shut up.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Now, why the kid decided now was the time? Because the problem with
I
that
believe
is,
we're up to four kids, too, by the way. Four,
okay,
accusers.
They all come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, I know. So who knows?
So
it's
I like, don't know.
It's like Tiger Woods.
Mike Brods. Right. I mean, there were Perkins waitresses that,
yeah,
said that they,
yeah,
banged Tiger Woods.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The problem is everybody sees a paycheck on that. So I don't know. Those people that are looking for a paycheck and probably Kevin Clash had nothing to do with, you're crooks and assholes, too. But Kevin Clash,
yeah,
you had the confidence of a nation. Find an adult to,
yeah,
have sex with,
right,
who will,
right,
keep,
right,
their mouth shut.
Yeah.
And this goes for everybody. And in fact, there's a couple people on this list this applies to directly.
Sure,
to.
Yeah, I know. I got names too that, you know, if you just keep your shit on lockdown,
so,
everything will be
all right. Elmo can go, yeah,
yeah,
go kiss me. You're an asshole.
Yeah, he's an asshole. I agree with you on that.
For your love of asshole, you're an asshole, sir.
Yeah, he was my number four. So anyway, we're back down to my number six. My number six. Again, this is a guy we both like, Corey, and I think you... I think it's safe to say that you like this guy more than me.
Mm.
And I think it's safe to say that you might even disagree with my making this guy one of the assholes of the year.
Okay.
But we're going to pick a guy that we'll go way back, even before the Muppets. We're going all the way back to the 60s. And Mike Nesmith is my number six asshole of the year.
What?
Mike Nesmith from the Monkees. Here's what happened.
Nez!
Corey, let me explain. Let me look at it.
Don't
Corey's,
be talking about
Corey,
Papa Nez!
Corey's getting angry. Put it down. Don't throw it over here. Corey, please, set it down. No, please. Okay, listen, here's the deal. Mike Nesmith decided in December of 2012, mm-hmm, you know what I'll do? You know what would be fun? Guess what I'll do, Corey? I'm Mike Nesmith. Hey, you know what I want to do, Corey?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think I'll do? I decided I want to reform with the Monkees. Yeah, Right now, I'm going to go, fuck it, let's do some monkey shows. Hey, guys, let's do some monkey shows. Hey, Mickey, you want to do some monkey shows? All right, buddy. Hey, Pete, what are you doing? Hey, it's Nesmith. Yeah, I know I blew you guys off for like 20 years. You want to do some monkey shows? Let's do some monkey shows. Hey, Davey. Yeah, but Davey's not answering his phone. What's with Davey? Oh, fuck, Davey's dead. Fuck it, let's do monkey shows anyway. What a fucking cocksucker. They begged this fucking schnook for 30 fucking goddamn years. Just do the monkeys. Please, Mike, come out, do the monkeys. He goes out, does one fucking show in 86 with these guys. They can't get him. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do the monkeys. I'm embarrassed of monkeys. I'm an artist. I'm this. I don't want to be in the monkeys.
Hold on, he did a couple shows in 94 with Justice.
I created. My mom did Whiteout. I created MTV. I don't need the monkeys. Fuck you guys. You guys are a bunch of hacks. You guys go out and do the monkeys. Then he dies. He goes, I got to do the monkeys. What the fuck? Why is he doing the monkeys in 2012?
Where's a flag?
Fuck your flag.
I'm throwing a
flag. Fuck your
flag.
Why would he put the monkeys back together after Davey's dead?
Because he felt bad.
Of course he should feel bad. He's an asshole. He should feel bad. He's a dick. Wow. He's a fucking dick.
Now, I would say I'm arguably a bigger monkeys fan than you.
I'm sure you're a bigger
monkeys fan. So I should be upset about this.
I like the monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
You're not upset because you got to see Nesmith play with the monkeys. Whether you went to the show or not, it's, you know what I mean? It's out there.
Sure.
He went back with the monkeys, but why not just fucking do it while those guys are around?
Mike, you know, if you don't know about the monkeys, and God knows we've talked about that on this show before, Mike was the principal musician in the monkeys.
Okay.
And the other guys were, Peter played a little bit, and Mickey wrote some songs.
Daydream Believer is Peter Tork on piano. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Peter and Mickey's one of the best singers of the 60s.
Yeah,
I love
Mickey.
Great voice.
Mickey's great.
Mickey did write some stuff. But yeah. Mike wrote more of the songs than the other guys.
All right.
Not that, and believe me, songwriters wrote most of the Monkey songs.
Sure.
That weren't in the band. But Mike.
Carole King.
Mike was the guy that took over when they decided they're going to make Headquarters and was going to be their product and they were going to control it. Mike was the guy who took it over. And I'm a big fan of Mike. I think it came out of genuine remorse. Now, also, it could have been that his problem all these years was with David.
And, you know, I thought of that, too. He's not talking about it.
He's not going to say it that way.
He's not
going to
say it. But
and when you read his interviews, they're kind of vague.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're a little weird. So,
but, you know, I mean, look, I'm sure the fans that went to the shows that Mike put together, and apparently from what I heard, and a lot of this is coming through Penn Jillette, who's a big fan of the Monkees. Mm-hmm. And his friends with Nesmith and went to the recent reunion shows, is that, you know, Nesmith made it more of a musical thing. And it was, you know, before it was just the three guys singing in front of a band, and Nesmith does a lot of playing now. And
mm-hmm.
it's a much different show than the other three guys did together. And I'm sure if you're a fan, that's quite a thrill. And, you know, you're going to enjoy it. But you know what? I say, you know what? What the fuck was your problem?
I don't know why.
What was your problem?
You know what?
Yeah.
I don't know why he waited, and then they had a tour last year that fell apart before Davey
died. Yeah.
I don't know why he decided for 30 years. He could have done it. They made an album in 96 or 7.
And Mike was on that.
That Mike was on.
Yeah.
And so he did come back and do an album.
Yeah, but he never jumped in with both feet.
No.
He never, and you know what, these guys nowadays, you know, bands, these guys come in, they do these things, and then they go back to, it's kind of the Fleetwood Mac guys. They go do solo albums, and they mm-hmm. get together. The Eagles get back together. They don't really like each other. They do that. Even Springsteen's guys have a million mm-hmm. different gigs. And they come on, they do shows with Bruce, and then they go back and do their own. They don't have to love each other
sure.
or do that thing. You know, it's like, why not be a man about it?
I don't know.
And just suck up. And
I find it hard to be mad at Mike.
Yeah, okay.
Because there's two ways to look at it. One, he legitimately had remorse for his friend.
Okay.
And he said, Jesus, we're getting old.
Yeah.
And we could, who knows who's next.
Sure.
So why don't I get together and do this while we're still, enough of us are there. And so he did those shows because he legitimately felt remorse that Davey was gone. Or two, he thought Davey was a cocksucker and didn't want to deal with
it. He didn't want to give put any money
and
in
his pocket.
And so
when Davey died, he looked at Mickey and Pete and said,
right.
Do you want some help on this tour? So I can't blame Mike
but
either way.
You know
way.
What? You know, here's the thing too is, you know, you can never have too much money. He could have gone out and done. He could have gone out and done these monkey shows and been the biggest thing. Even if he had waited until 2005 or whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever year you want to pick from when the monkeys first got back together, which was 86 or something. They got back. So it's like, you know, come on, man.
All right.
Come on, dude.
Well, I'll tell
you know, and if you had that much of a problem, then that problem should keep going and you should be consistent and just say, fuck it. I'm not doing the monkeys and I'll go to my grave without ever doing it again. But to come back now just shows you for the asshole you always were. And here it is in 2012. Well, Mike Nesmith.
I can't be mad at him.
The asshole
might,
of the year.
I might be able to go see him do Papa Jean's Blues. Yeah. Or
right.
You know, the girl.
Well, I mean,
I
the
needed.
Beach Boys got back together, and then they fired the
That's
fired
funny
Brian Wilson.
Because that's one of my assholes. Of the year.
Yeah, there you go. It's the same thing. All right.
That's fun. Should I just do him next?
Well, is he is somebody next?
Mike Love is
what
my
number
next
is Mike Love?
Just, whatever we're at.
You're gonna make him six. All right, Mike Love.
My number six, yes, he got promoted on the back of this. Now your case
he made the starting lineup of
your case against Nesmith involves a death. So I'm gonna give Mike a little bit of the perhaps it was legitimate remorse that led him to get back with the band, and he felt like he needed to, he owed it to the other guys. Yeah. Mike Love, who is the cousin of Brian Wilson. The other two Wilson brothers, Dennis and Carl, passed away. So Brian is, and Mike are the only two family members that are still left. The other guys, Al Jardine, Bruce Johnson, and any other fucking slappy you want to call. Oh, David Marks.
David Marks, yeah.
Were not family members, but they were guys they grew up with and played football with in high school. So Mike Love has been out there for the last 20, since I want to say it was the early 80s when the Beach Boys last really performed.
I'd probably say late 80s, because I think in the late 80s.
No, with Brian.
Yeah, but Brian did. Brian would do pop-ins. I don't think Brian ever did a full tour in a lot of times, but yeah.
They did, but when it was around the time of, of 12 Big Ones and some of that stuff in the late 70s, they were touring together. And then in the early 80s, Brian would show up for a show or two. But since about, I don't know, the time of Kokomo.
Yeah.
And that, which is the worst Beach Boys song that was ever recorded. I mean, it's worse than like the Beach Boys have stuff like they have our favorite recording sessions where they'll just take like them goofing around in the studio and they'd slap it on the end of an album because they needed a 12 track.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, it's just them farting around in the studio telling jokes. Those are better than Kokomo. It's the worst track. And so many people, and it was such a big hit that people go, oh, Kokomo.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Beach Boys. It's dreadful. And, and as I'm a huge Beach Boys. The Monkees and the Beach Boys, I'm big slappies for both of them.
Sure.
More for the Beach Boys. This Mike Love character.
Yeah.
First of all, he fought tooth and nail against Brian when Brian was at his creative peak.
Sure.
When Brian was doing Pet Sounds.
All right. But that was in 67.
I know.
Or
but you were upset with Mike Nesmith for not doing 30 years of Monkees tours. Mike Love.
Yeah.
Cocksmoker. He was like, yeah, man, let's just do some more car songs. When Brian Wilson was going into these crazy, you know, creative explorations of what pop music could be, Mike was like, let's do another Barbara Ann, man. Let's rip off another fun car song. So Mike's always been a dick. He's fought. He's been usually the source of animus inside the band. Even when Brian went crazy, went buck nuts, Mike was usually the guy that caused a problem. So for the last 20 years, let's say, Mike and Bruce have been out. Mike and Al have been touring?
No, Mike. It would be Mike and Bruce.
Mike and Bruce. Okay.
Yeah, Al was touring with, like, the Wilson Phillips girls. Okay. Yeah. Brian's
Mike and Bruce. Bruce Johnson was the replacement for Brian Wilson on the tours.
Yeah, he was the live.
Starting in, like, 66, 67, they brought in Bruce Johnson to tour live, and he wrote some songs and whatever. Yeah. Good for him. But he and Mike have been touring as the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
And then Al Jardine would be the Beach Boys and friends, even though it's one fucking guy.
It's one, the Beach Boy.
And maybe Carl did that with Al for a while until Carl died. Anyway, that's another band that's had nothing but strife and making up. But every now and then they ring the dinner bell and go, let's get together and do some shows. So they finally did a big tour, which I couldn't go to because I had to go to my...
Yeah, you could be my asshole of the year for...
I understand.
I bought you 15th row tickets for your wedding present that you never fucking use.
Don't tell me how horrible it is. Look, I'm still pissed off.
I'm sure.
And now, even more
so
now.
Maybe that's why you're so pissed at Mike, is that they're never going to be able to do that again.
So they did a tour with the Beach Boys, and they put the whole band back together, all the living members. They even brought David Marks, who they kicked off after, like, Surfer Girl, after, like, their second album.
Yeah.
They brought back David Marks. They brought the whole band back together. Mm-hmm. They did a tour. And it was critically well received because they had a backing band that covered up their sad old man faltering, looked like a bunch of guys on a golf course for a tea time at noon. Yeah. And everybody loved the tour, and they said it was great. And they put out an album called That's Why God Made the Radio, and it actually got fairly decent reviews. And they toured, and it was like the band's back together again, man. We're going to ride out this last wave.
Yeah.
And as soon as they stopped doing their American dates, Mike Love fired Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
His cousin.
Yeah.
Who has given him a life.
Yeah.
And wealth beyond his imagination.
Yeah, that's too bad.
When he was driving his hot rod around Hawthorne, California as a fucking fading jock with a receding hairline.
Yeah.
This genius cousin of his,
yeah,
who's kept his ass in show business for 50, because Mike Love wouldn't do a goddamn thing
listen,
on his own.
Mike, listen.
With his nasally stupid voice and his fucking... Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
I hate
you know
that
what, Brian, but here's, you know, and listen, Mike Love's a complete dick, and I'm with you on that. But, you know, maybe Mike Love somewhere goes like, hey, Brian wants to not tour with us for 25 fucking years.
Fuck
right,
him.
I'll right, show him. And he waited till 2012.
Sure.
And once the iron got hot, he said, ah, out.
But I'm saying the balls
yeah,
on this guy.
Yeah,
Brian Wilson
balls,
was the,
listen,
the writer,
I know,
composer,
I know,
who did the arranger,
I hear you,
made the whole Beach Boys happen.
It's almost like Nesmith joined the Monkees and then the Monkees threw out Nesmith. It's sort of that sort of, but yeah, I mean, look,
you could say the same argument with the Monkees that Mike was more of the creative
right
force,
right, and like saying Brian Wilson is, you know, a crazy man,
mm-hmm,
so you know you can't, I get if there was some resentment from the past, but right,
sure,
now it's all about making money. These guys, here's what these guys can do, and bands do this all the time. This is what you do. Brian Wilson, you get a plane. Mike Love, you get a plane. The other fucking Hammond Eggers, you guys take your own plane.
Mm-hmm.
We would stay at all different hotels. Showtime, you guys, one guy comes out stage right, one guy comes out stage left. You go and you sing, you never see the guys the rest of the time.
Exactly.
I mean, literally, and bands do that all the fucking time. More than people understand that's what happens in the music, mm-hmm, business. People get together to make fucking money. And I know that from firsthand experience working with musicians, and I've been around people who literally get together to get paid, and then they never fucking see each other. And
sure,
that's what these guys could be doing, so I agree with you on that. So,
anyway. But the other problem is, it's his fucking family, too.
Yeah, it is.
It's his lifeblood, and this guy, Mike Love, would never... The other Monkees, by the way, have talent. Okay?
Mike Love is sub-monkey, talent-wise.
What I'm saying is, Mickey was an actor.
No,
he was
okay,
a singer.
Yeah, yeah.
Mickey could have probably had some hits on his own.
Right.
Mike Love could have done fuck and all on his own, right? Without his brother.
He'd be washing windows without Brian.
Without
yeah,
his cousin
no, okay,
and Carl and Dennis, who were right, talents too. Mike never had any talent. The songs that Mike wrote, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You try and listen to those.
I don't. So anyway.
Horrible.
All right, Mike Love, number six. Thank you.
Thank you. He got bumped right up after you brought up. You brought Papa Nez into this.
You saw my.
All right.
You saw my.
Now
Nesmith.
I'm fired up.
You saw my monkey and raised me a Beach Boy.
I got a bigger dick.
Well, let's stay in the world of rock and roll now that we're in rock and roll. We'll go to my number five. Now, my number five, I normally wouldn't do this, and it's not a group. This is an anonymous, and maybe I could have looked up the name and getting a name, but I don't even know that the name would be accurate. But this is, I just want to name a guy who did something that involves famous people, and then we can just call him the asshole, whoever he is. Okay. My number five asshole of the year is whoever stopped the Bruce Springsteen Paul McCartney show in Hyde Park. Somebody came out and said, "We're pulling the plug. Bruce and Paul want to do another one. We got 85,000 fucking people in Hyde Park for Bruce Springsteen and Paul McCartney singing together. And no, we don't want to burden the residents of Hyde Park. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a dick. And actually this went so far as the promoters now have pulled out of the venue. Hyde Park is never going to have concerts again, at least by, I think it was Live Nation that put this together. They said, hey, you're going to play shit like that because they're 10 minutes over or whatever they were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were over by the time. McCartney did two songs with Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
They did I Saw Her Standing There and Twist and Shout. And then Bruce wanted to do one more, and they come out, and it was all on Palladia had the concert from Hyde Park, Hard Rock Calling. And Bruce was like, what? They can't cut us off now, can they?
Yeah.
And everyone's just looking around, and then they're like, no, you got to go. And Bruce is like, what the fuck, we got to go?
Mm-hmm.
And the fans are booing because there's McCartney and Bruce standing there with guitars in their hands ready to sing, and they can't even fucking do it because some fucking douchebag, like they can't, like you're not going to pay a fine. Like that fine's not going to get paid. What will you charge him? $1 million? All right.
No.
Here's what you do. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want $1 million because we went over. Hey, Paul, who's reaching into their pocket to get the mill? You want to do it, Paul, or should I do it? Well, you know, I'm Bruce. Let's assume I'm Bruce. You know, these guys could shake out their fucking couch cushions and pay off the fucking people that live near Hyde Park. It's so stupid. It's one of the all-time, you know what I mean? Like
whatever Bobby whatever local councilman.
Yeah, there's some. There's
whatever
some, yeah.
officiant.
Yeah.
Did that. I agree with you. They're an asshole.
Yes.
But you know who Stern blamed for this?
Who did Stern blame?
And he's got a point.
Oh, come on.
He blamed Bruce Springsteen.
No.
Bruce Springsteen knew when the curfew was.
He knew what the curfew was, but
he knew when the show had to end.
Okay.
Bruce Springsteen, who you love.
I do.
And I'm okay with.
Right.
I'm not a I have some of his albums. He's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Springsteen guy.
Never been to a show, so it's hard to.
Springsteen does this thing.
Yeah.
Where he does 3-hour shows.
Sure.
5-hour shows.
Sure. No, he does 3 hours. He did a 4-hour and 10-minute concert this year.
He used to
That's
do.
That's the longest he did.
He used to do 5-hour shows.
No,
right?
He never did 5-hour shows. That's a myth. The longest show he ever did was 4 hours and 10 minutes, and that was this summer in Gothenburg, Sweden.
All right. But he's known for doing.
He's known for doing very long
three
shows.
And
3 hours.
Hour
sure,
shows.
Yeah, yes,
sure.
Yes. Right.
All right. He knew what his booking time was.
Sure.
He's been doing concerts since 1973.
Exactly.
And he knew when his schedule was. He knew when to get off
You're
in Hyde Park.
You're completely right.
And he took, and Paul McCartney's there.
Yeah.
And now either you blame Bruce or maybe you blame Paul.
Yeah.
But you don't think Paul McCartney got there 10 minutes before the show. Paul McCartney's probably standing in the wings for, while they're doing Dancing in the Streets. Paul McCartney's standing.
Dancing in the Dark.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Paul's standing in the wings going, oh, you know, it's lovely. You know, I remember when George and I went on.
Yeah.
Bring him out. Just bring him out three songs earlier, and no one gives a shit. This is a dumb. You got to hold Bruce responsible on some level.
That's what Bruce does. This is what Bruce does with curfews. Hey, curfew, go fuck yourself. Send me a bill. I'll pay your fine. Leave me the fuck alone. I want to play my rock and roll. Springsteen did 2 nights at Wrigley Field in Chicago, of which I was at the second. Wrigley Field has a curfew. They got to be done at like 11 o'clock for ball games even at fucking Wrigley Field. Because you know how Wrigley is. You know what Wrigleyville is like. Those houses are fucking on top of Wrigley Field, right?
Yeah, because people live there.
The Chicago Council said, you know what, Bruce, you do whatever the fuck you want to do. Mm-hmm. We don't care. And Bruce did 3.5 hours every night at Wrigley
Field. Okay, but Bruce has got to do the 3-hour show.
Right.
Can't he just do a nice 2-hour show? He's got to show off.
This guy.
And do a 2-hour and 3-hour show?
This fucking guy is the only guy. That's real. As far as I can tell, in my knowledge of Bruce Springsteen, which is quite extensive, is the only guy that really ever cut Bruce Springsteen off at a show. And it happened to be the only show, to my knowledge, that Paul McCartney ever showed up at. It was the only Bruce show. I mean, they did the Grammys together. They did a jam on that. They did the end this year at the Grammys. But this is the only time I ever known that Paul's shown up to a Bruce show to sit in with him. And it's the only time they've been cut off. In my knowledge of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band's live performance history. So I think that qualifies as being an asshole move.
610-552-0746. If you think this is something to get hot and bothered.
Corey.
Please call in.
Let's do a little role play. You're a guy.
I'm a dickbag.
You're a guy.
Who goes to every Springsteen.
You're a guy standing in Hyde Park.
Uh-huh.
And you've been standing there since noon because you need to get there early to get a real good spot right down the front of the stage to see Bruce. And Bruce is on it. Bruce is doing 3 hours and he's killing it. Everything's doing great. And he's playing all the hits and everything's great. And you're hearing Born to Run and fucking great and awesome. Then you think the concert's over. But right before the concert's over, you think maybe he's got one song. Maybe he's done. Who comes out? Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney's on. Holy shit, Paul McCartney's on stage. Holy shit, they're doing a Beatles song. Oh, God, that's so great. Oh, they wouldn't possibly do another one. Oh, my God, they're doing Twist and Shout. Holy shit, that's fucking great. Then Bruce walks up to the mic to try to sing. He's talking into the mic. You can see him on the screen talking, but no sound is coming out of the PA.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think you're going to be fucking pissed off at whoever contacted. Yeah. You would be super fucking pissed off. So you can be Howard Stern, and you can sit back and pretend like nothing's cool, and I don't give a shit, and stuff like that. But you ain't Howard Stern. You actually like music. You actually would go. Howard Stern would never go to a Bruce Springsteen. You know, I looked it up. Howard Stern went to one Bruce Springsteen concert in his life.
Oh!
I looked this up.
You're starting to sound like
MarksFriggin.com.
Scary, by the way.
No, I'm not scary. Shut up.
You're like one of these. You're one of these Bruce heads.
What? Listen.
And you're like, you don't know because you haven't been to a Bruce show.
First of all, the Bruce fans are called tramps. You get that right, and let me continue. Here's the point. Bruce Springsteen went to one Springsteen concert, and Howard Stern went to one Springsteen concert.
If you call Bob Dylan Zimmy, I'm coming over there punching you in the nose.
Howard walked out halfway through the Springsteen show because he had to get up and work the next day. Fuck you, Howard. You don't know shit. And you want to be, you want to talk about assholes
you're
of the year?
A real fan.
Do more than three shows a fucking month, Howard, you fucking prick. You ain't even on my list. I never subscribed to your XM fucking serious bullshit anyway.
I'm with you. He does three shows a week.
It's three shows a fucking, yeah.
And then he takes off like eight or 9 weeks a year.
You're going to take his side on fucking Bruce Springsteen.
No, I'm just
Paul
saying
McCartney.
He had a point. Look, and first of all, I don't. Your fascination with Bruce Springsteen.
He's got a point.
Mystifies
but
me.
Bruce knows how the game is played. They give you a curfew. You go 10 minutes over. They give you a little fine. You pay it off. It's all set.
God, I have so many names. I can't limit myself.
You're at number five.
Are we really at number five?
You're at number five.
Who was my number six?
Mike Love.
Oh. Yeah, I moved him up. My number five might surprise you, might shock you. Yeah. I'm a fan of this guy.
Uh-oh.
I was a fan for a long time.
Oh, my goodness.
And I probably will, if he ever recovers, I might be a fan again.
Oh, Barack Obama.
But
let
my number five.
No, not him. Okay.
Keith Olbermann.
Keith Olbermann. Oh, my goodness.
Keith Olbermann.
Corey, that is your hero. That is sacrilege.
I've been a fan
the
of
cult
Keith
of Olbermann.
I've been a fan of Keith Olbermann since he was on SportsCenter, okay?
Yeah.
When he had a goofy mustache and he was on with Dan Patrick.
Right.
And I thought that they and by the way, he's to blame. Olbermann is solely to blame for sportscasters thinking that they're comedy writers.
Yeah, that
there used to be a little bit of like right. kind of wacky sports guy thing before that, or like let me give you my opinion.
Yeah.
Or there used to be kind of a wonka wonka and they you know, they do the
Yeah, exactly.
They hit the horn, you know, they do a little bit of that.
Well, the guys, the funniest things they would do, they would have like a home run call.
Right.
And that was their humor, right. You know, back, you know, yeah. They would do
something.
Well,
Chris Berman started
doing
that.
Yeah.
Or like Champ Kind.
Remember like Van Earl, like, he went deep over the wall in the field.
That's all after Olbermann.
That's no, that was before Olbermann.
Now, like,
Van Orroy was the 80s.
Okay.
But whatever, it came out of that era, and they perfected it, the SportsCenter.
Olbermann and Patrick really did the thing, and they all kind of copied it. Now, SportsCenter, you can't watch it without them being full of themselves. They've dialed it back. They've dialed it back from the turn-of-the-century insanity of SportsCenter, where everything was whamma-jamma-ding-dong. But Keith Olbermann he leaves sport, you know, he leaves ESPN.
Sure.
He went to Fox Sports for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then he bounced around. He went to MSNBC. And then he quit MSNBC because he was tired of doing Monica Gate.
Yeah.
Most people forget his first tour at MSNBC.
Oh, okay.
He had a show and he was like, this is now the 500th Monica Lewinsky.
What was that show? Was that just the Keith? It wasn't Countdown at that point. It was like,
I don't know what it was called.
Something with Keith Olbermann.
The big broadcast. Yeah. But it was, he had a show that was similar to the show he did later. But yeah. So he comes back to MSNBC, and he does Countdown with Keith Olbermann, and it becomes a success in a way that MSNBC hadn't had, and he sort of remolded the network, which Olbermann does wherever he goes.
Sure.
The guy's brilliant, and if you read that ESPN book, everybody said he could sit down and write an entire SportsCenter broadcast in like 40 minutes.
Sure.
Nobody else had the guy's a Promethean talent. He's a brilliant guy.
All right.
He's a great writer. He's funny. He's really hyper smart. He apparently is a jerk off wherever he goes, and clashes with people.
To be the case,
it seems to be.
He can't get along with anyone.
And I'm a fan of Keith, and I will buy his side of the story
to
some extent because I understand how networks work. I understand how television works to some degree. And whenever an artist or creative person goes, you know, this suit, these stupid bullshit fucking flunkies in the suits who come in and tell you how to do your show, I'm inclined to take the side.
Mm-hmm.
But Keith has a pattern where everywhere he goes, he cannot operate unless he's pissing on the boss. He has to work in that way. And eventually that affects on you.
Uh-huh.
So he goes, he is like the number one show on MSNBC. He builds the whole network in his image. Rachel Maddow gets a show based on him promoting her. Huh. They dumped all the legal shit that they were doing in
Dan Abrams, trial watch.
They dumped all of the kind of CNN-like aspects and went as a real progressive counter to Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the star of the show. And then he goes and leaves. He had some fight with MSNBC. And abruptly, and I was watching, I had the show on, and he goes, this is my last show. And I went, and I shot milk all over the place.
Yeah.
He just leaves and quits MSNBC.
Yeah.
Comes back 4 or 5 months later at Current TV.
Yeah.
Which is Al Gore's funded cable network, and he's going to build Current into a real challenger and make that into a good station and run that. And he proceeds to In Short Order within a few months. And the show is pretty much the same.
He's doing the same exact thing.
Except that the production's a little cheaper.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So,
well, it's current fucking TV. A lot of people don't get it, or if you do get, like, I get current TV, I couldn't tell you what number that is on my, I would never, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's hard for people to find that channel.
And I haven't watched it once since Olbermann left.
Okay, yeah.
But I tuned in because Olbermann was on, and I like Olbermann. He goes and he blows that up.
Yeah.
He goes there, and he didn't like how they were lighting the set, so he had them turn the lights off. And for the last, like, 4 months of his show, he did it with a black backdrop.
Oh, jeez.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it looked like the lights were out. Well, I think the lights went out during the show, and he got pissed off. And then, so Keith, your temperamental little baby patty fight, and then he got into a fight with everybody at Current, and he got fired from there, and Keith attacked Al Gore in the media. Al Gore might well be a dick.
Yeah,
but
might
Keith
be.
Olbermann. Your long-standing history of assholery has caught up with even a devoted fan like me. And now he's out there doing Twitter pics of sunsets.
Okay, well,
Keith,
good for him.
Go get some help and get your shit together, big fella.
But I like that this is the straw that broke the camel's back with Olbermann. Not the other times he got run out of town.
No.
From these other channels. This is the next.
I've finally had enough.
Too many. Yeah.
Well, the MSNBC thing pissed me off that he left the way he did on a Friday, and he just was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I think the fans were pissed off at him. And then this thing with Current, he brought it on himself.
Sure.
He could have sat there and done whatever he wanted, and he was mad that they, you know, whatever. So, Keith, you're a big baby. I think you're a genius, but you're an idiot.
All right.
All right, thank you.
There it is. Corey's number five, Keith Olbermann. Now, since you got my number four, you're going to have to go again and give us a number four. Because,
okay.
All right. You know, we're getting down here. And
I have so many candidates.
Which means I might get the last name, but you might get one of my next names, so...
Do I say A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez?
No. You pick whoever you want. Give us a number four.
Do I say Papa John?
Give us a number four.
Because Papa John.
You can't just keep saying names.
No, I'm just
you
throwing out
give
some.
Us a name.
I have 50 names, Joel.
All right, well, pick one. Come on.
Papa I'm going to name. I'm going to do an odd category. The entire Republican presidential field.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Because this could have been 12 names here.
Now, were they all still in? I guess they were all still in the running at the start of 2012, right?
Okay. Yeah, we didn't decide until May.
Because you could say Rick Santorum all day and no one would have a problem with that. You know, you could just pick him out.
But it wasn't just Rick Santorum.
It wasn't.
It was Rick Perry.
Yeah, Rick Perry.
Remember how Rick Perry was the front runner?
Oh, yeah. He was like, he was Bush-like.
Mm-hmm. He was Bush-like.
He was Bush-like. We love him.
Yeah.
Remember how much everyone liked Bush? So I like him.
Yeah. Except he was.
It didn't work,
And he was dumber than Bush somehow.
Dumber and less likable than Bush.
Herman Cain, who did what had to be one of the greatest performance artist pieces I've ever seen. Like Andy. I was thinking Andy Kaufman was under that mask.
He's.
I thought he was going to pull it off.
He really liked
Thank you very much. I thought it was an act. Like Herman Cain, he's the black fucking Godfather's Pizza CEO.
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen? The guy was nuts. He quoted a Pokemon lyric in his campaign speeches.
But I thought you were going more after about like the harassment or the women thing.
Absolutely. The whole package.
Cheating on a wife.
Look, Herman Cain probably deserved his own Asshole of the Year entry.
He probably did, but can't, you know. Yeah.
The other guys distinguished themselves by being so awful.
Yeah.
Michelle Bachmann with her bat nut crazy bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys were also Newt Gingrich, who's still out there on television like people care.
But I always went
These guys were so bad.
But here's my thing. I was going with Santorum if I was going to pick a guy. And here's why I'd go with Santorum.
He was terrible, too.
Because Santorum stayed in the race so late and just kept dumping on Romney every fucking minute that it really hurt Romney's. For him to get any momentum to actually win the general election was sort of cut off by Santorum. And let's face it, Santorum ain't going to win anything. No. You know what I'm saying? No. You know what I mean? Like, Santorum couldn't win. I mean, you know, he couldn't get elected a dog catcher, Santorum.
Well,
the guy's a moron.
You know, John McCain did not win, and he looked bad in the way he went down. But he was plausible, right? And if he hadn't picked Sarah Palin, if he'd picked somebody else, you might have gone, okay, I could see John McCain being president.
Yeah.
Not one of these jokers could you ever for a minute imagine was going to get elected.
Yeah.
And we had 2 years of hubbub and fuss and ballyhoo, and they kept switching back and forth over who was the leader of the stupids.
Yeah, it really was.
Right?
It was like they gave each person a turn at the wheel, and everybody drove it into the ditch. Yeah.
And everyone from John Huntsman, who was the reasonable guy.
Right, Huntsman, I was going to say, he's got the least to blame, but he just had no...
He was just born.
He never got hot.
Just born. Tim Pawlenty.
Yeah.
Those two guys were Pawlenty.
Yeah.
Those two guys were boring.
I couldn't pick Pawlenty out of a lineup.
They were plain white rice. Yeah. They had no flavor, nothing, no vibrancy. They might have almost been plausible candidates, but they were just no fire. And then you get the freak show with your Bachman, with your Kane, with your, you know, Santorum.
Well, I thought the deal with Kane, too, was that Kane...
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul, Jesus Christ. But I always thought the deal with Kane was that Kane just wanted to be, like, a pundit. And so he decided if he ran for office that people would take him more seriously.
And they haven't taken him seriously
at all. And he'd be able to write books and, you know, show up on panels and fucking yuck it up with everybody and give speeches, so... What a bunch of jerks.
And you know what? That works for Mike Huckabee.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he got a show.
Mike Huckabee got a deal. Right. Herman Cain, where is he? I don't
see
him.
First of all, Mike Huckabee, I saw Mike Huckabee doing some of the most compelling television. He had an interview with Richard Marx about his Christmas album. And I'm like, why is this on Saturday at 6 p.m.?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I can't believe this isn't primetime
that
television.
That Huckabee show.
Yeah, I can't believe that they're
Huckabee. It is. It's like...
It's like, it's the dullest shit you'll
ever see. And you're right. It's so totally like...
It's like fucking...
You know,
it's like Lawrence Welk of politics. It's so bad.
Yeah. It's Lee Greenwood's got a new album.
It is just like the most fucking middle of the road, milquetoast fucking down home.
We're live from the Branson Auditorium in Branson, Missouri. We're here at the Ray Stevens Show.
My Huckabee managed to take like lame entertainment and do a mashup with politics and some sort of, you know. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, those guys are idiots. I completely
the whole field. Because you know how you know how bad you are when
And Romney. And Romney too.
You know how bad the other guys were?
Right, yeah.
Romney was best one.
When that's the best guy. But you know what? Here's the thing about Romney, and this is a little bit like, look, clearly asshole of the year candidates, no question. I've been screaming about these guys for 2 fucking years. We've gone on this show time after time and went like, none of these guys have a shot. Zero. Not one guy has a shot. That one guy has zero. Yeah. They have zero chance.
No, nothing.
From the get-go. And then, you know, all these pollsters are going like, well, it looks neck and neck to me, and oh, this is going to be a horse race, and it looks like the numbers are trending Romney. It's trending. We're trending Romney.
Ugh. You could have said the whole election was bullshit because... Yeah.
A bunch of bullshit.
They tried to make it look like Obama was going to lose, and it never happened.
Obama, say what you want about Obama and his performance, and you can criticize Obama and what he's actually gotten done, but when it comes down to electability and personality and likability and all stuff, Obama's got all those guys beat 8 ways to Sunday.
Right.
And listen, that's the way some people vote.
They vote on Trump.
And we got to get used to it. And listen, if you're going to ignore that factor, you can look at Romney's trending amongst, you know, men over the age of 50 or some kind of bullshit like that if you want. But come on, give me a fucking break. He never had one shot.
No.
Zero.
Not at all.
Never had a shot.
Ugh.
All right, so since I've given you 4, I'm going to do my three now. I'm on to my 3. We're getting down to it here. This is top 3. Now, this guy, I'm just going to read you this guy's name, and then you're going to say, who the fuck is that? Let me make sure I pronounce this correctly. Manoj Bhargava.
Oh, who is this?
Manoj Bhargava. He is a billionaire that created the 5-hour energy drink. Now, what Manoj is up to this year is, according to the FDA, is now investigating his fine 5-hour energy product. Of which I think the first person I ever saw consume one is sitting right across from me in the form of Corey Hall.
I have had 5-hour energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And according to the FDA, since 2005, 5-hour energy was... Now, it's not saying it was responsible, but 5-hour energy was part of... Or what's the word used? It was involved in, according to FDA's investigation, 13 deaths... 32 hospitalization, and 92 adverse events to your product. But what does Minaj come on TV and go, oh, it's safe. Everybody use our product. Oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with 5-hour energy. You know what? That much caffeine.
It's ridiculous.
He's like, oh, it's a cup of coffee. Yeah, but a cup of coffee doesn't go into you in 2 fucking seconds. A cup of coffee takes you 20 minutes to drink, you asswipe. So here's a guy just cashing his fucking checks, a billionaire guy from the Detroit area. We know his nephew. You know his nephew? Yeah, you know who his nephew is, right? He's a friend. I don't want to say his name.
Okay.
But he's a friend of ours. He's a guy that does comedy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this guy, and I'm like, how are you going to just go out? You're going to keep making this 5-hour energy? This guy's going to end up in jail or bankrupt or something. I mean, how? And you know, you go on and you don't go. You know, here's what you do. You go like, oh, you got a problem with FDA? Okay, so what I do? I'm going to tweak the product. We'll take out some of the caffeine. Maybe we'll give you a little more ginseng. We'll give you a little some herbal thing. You know, because you can do this. You can. You already made your $1 billion. No need to kill anybody else. Go ahead and fess up. It's okay.
Well, they shut down that Four Loko.
Yeah, they did shut down the Four Loko.
And
but that was alcohol, and people have a different with alcohol because alcohol that couldn't possibly be good.
Okay, tonight I've been drinking a Arizona iced
you have,
tea.
Yes,
this is the Jack Nicklaus Golden Bear Strawberry Lemonade.
That's
okay, and I'm not saying this is good for you,
right?
But there's 70 calories in it,
and there's some caffeine in that because it's tea, right?
No, this
it's lemonade. That's just lemonade.
This one's lemonade.
So yeah, so you probably maybe
but the
caffeine.
Tea probably has some.
The tea would have caffeine in it.
But this thing,
and what is
23 fluid ounces.
What is that other thing you're drinking? That's Mountain Dew, isn't it?
Yeah,
so you got caffeine.
I'm drinking a lot of garbage.
Well, we're doing radio, so you're trying to get pumped up. I get you.
But here's the deal. This is 23 fluid ounces.
Yeah.
What's the 5 hour energy? It's 5 ounces.
It's an ounce or 2 ounces.
It's less than.
It's
that.
A shot glass. A shot glass is an ounce.
So it's like 2 ounces.
Yeah, it's 2 ounces probably.
If it's 2 ounces and it's causing people problems.
Yeah.
Now, are guys like shotgunning a bunch of 5 hour energies?
Some guys are.
Because when I've had.
There are guys that
do that. When I've had 5 hour energy.
Yeah.
And I've had it from time to time, like if I'm on the road for comedy.
Yeah. Okay.
Or if I'm going to do some big event.
Yeah.
You know, like we did, you know, when I did it, like the blowout.
Okay.
I drank one before the blowout or if I had a bunch of shows to do or something. I've had it from time to time. I don't drink it very often.
Yeah.
But if it's 2 ounces. And it's causing problems.
Yeah, no.
Your product's shitty. I'm with you.
Well, like that Mountain Dew, a 5 hour energy's probably got more caffeine than that Mountain Dew you're drinking. I think is that a 20 ounce Mountain Dew you're drinking over there? It's probably got more caffeine than that, and it gets into your system, instantaneously.
Now,
it's
ridiculous. I'll tell you what, they work. The 5 hour energies have worked for me.
But let's say you take a 5 hour energy and you go up on a roof. And you're exerting yourself, and it's a hot, sunny day.
I'm trying not to go up on a roof.
But let's say you go up on a roof because that's your job. You're a roofer. Am I saying roof funny? You don't like the way I say roof?
You're not saying roof. You're saying roof.
Roof. Roof. Saying, roof.
You said roof like
roof.
A
yeah,
like
roof.
Yeah, roof. Like a German shepherd.
You're going up on a roof.
Roof.
That's all a roof. Right. You go up on a roof.
Look, if you're if a couple of utes go up on a roof.
You're on a roof.
Use guys go up on a roof. Use utes.
Let's say these guys goes up on the roof over there. Over there, these guys. But, you know what I mean? You don't want to be full of stuff that's making your heartbeat faster. And then you're pounding nails, and the sun's beating down. And you know what I mean? It's a dangerous thing. And the guy, you know what the guy's got to do? He's got $1 billion. He's got a product that people like. You tweak your product. You say, hey, you know what? Maybe that wasn't safe. But I think the deal with him is I think once you admit anything, if he tweaks the product, that's when the doors of the courts are open. Boom. Yeah. You're admitting it's bad. I'm going to take you for this. I'm going to take you for that. And this guy's probably scared out of his mind. But you know what? The right thing to do is get rid of the product. The right thing to do is to admit that it's dangerous. But this guy's fiddling away while people are fucking dropping dead from the shit you're selling. And he could give a fuck. So that's my number three asshole of the year.
Well,
Manoj Bhargava.
I'm with you.
I mean, a lot of that is just me not liking 5 hour energy and thinking it's for douchebags. You know, at the same time, there has to be some corporate responsibility, not unlike the hostess guy. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Boy, in the light of that legitimate claim, I feel bad about my number four pick. I'm going to go with a gentleman called Taylor Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch.
Are you familiar with this gentleman's
Jesus,
work?
Taylor Kitsch. It sounds familiar. He's some sort of actor or something, but he's.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do? Did he get arrested for something? What did he do?
No, and you know what? There's plenty of people on this list who've done worse things.
I'm hard to find Taylor Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch's crimes are all cultural. They haven't caught Taylor Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch.
Banging a 17-year-old boy, like, say,
no.
Kevin Clash.
Okay.
But here's the deal with Taylor Kitsch, okay? Taylor Kitsch is the latest new thing from Hollywood.
Yeah.
He's the new hot young piece of ass.
Okay.
Hollywood is pumping through that pipeline.
Taylor Kitsch.
They got to imagine there's a conveyor belt like in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay.
And they are like, let's put a bland, hunky guy who looks a little bit like Tarzan and we'll slide him up
on this. Zac Efron's got too many miles on him.
Yeah,
we need something new.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Right. Channing Tatum's already gone through this process.
All right.
And they say...
But now it's Taylor Kitsch's time to shine.
Uh-huh. Let's put Taylor Kitsch in this business. Now, he's been around for a little while. Okay. He was in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
No.
And we all know what a great film that was.
Sure.
Taylor Kitsch, tonight's the night. Now, he was on a show called Friday Night's Lights.
Uh-huh.
Which about five people saw. Mm-hmm. But everybody said, was great.
Yeah.
It's finally time. This is his year, 2012. Let's make Taylor Kitsch a star.
Sure.
Let's take him and put him to the top.
Go ahead. You go.
First film up on the list for Taylor Kitsch as the headlining star.
Sure.
Above the credits.
Name above the title.
It's a film called John Carter.
Yeah, that's no good.
Also known as John Carter from Mars. Also known as one of the biggest flops in history.
that was bad. Yeah, Disney lost a lot of money.
And if you saw the movie... Yeah. One of the big problems with John Carter, aside from the fact that the storyline was almost incomprehensible, was that the lead actor in John Carter was as devoid of charisma as this blank notebook page that I'm looking at here.
Yeah.
Not a thing going on.
All right.
It's a stiff. He's a flatline. He's jumping around in space with his shirt off, fighting green CGI monsters. It's terrible. That movie was dreadful. It tanked. To the degree we can't even imagine.
Taylor Kitsch.
But that's okay, because it's not his only movie.
No. How could you possibly be in the worst bomb ever and follow it up with something that's not better than that?
The next movie that Taylor Kitsch came out with.
Oh, no.
Battleship.
Oh, Taylor Kitsch. Taylor Kitsch. No, say it ain't so, Taylor.
It's the start Battleship. Of Battleship.
Oh, no.
Oh,
this
my
poor man.
God, are you kidding
Taylor
me?
Taylor Kitsch.
So first of all, I could have, instead of Taylor Kitsch, I could have picked whatever studio executive said, hey, do we have the rights to the Milton Bradley game?
You're right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Let's make that into a script.
Sure, yeah.
Now, I could put that nameless, faceless suit dickhead, but Taylor Kitsch was the face of John Carter and of Battleship.
God, what are the odds, man?
And,
jeez.
They put him in two of the biggest stinky stink bombs.
Is there anything? Did he do anything that was good? I mean, even in a smaller role? I mean, I know he was.
Here's his third movie of the
third year. Third movie of the year. Oh, God.
Okay, now the total domestic gross on Battleship was $65 million.
Okay, which isn't bad, but that was a summer opening, so it's going to have a bigger. It probably cost $300 million.
What do you think the production budget was?
$270 million.
$209 million.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but that's not counting marketing.
Oh, okay.
So you're marketing your figures going back up to 270.
So it needs to make 300 to make some money.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So, okay, right. Taylor Kitsch.
$65 million. What a bomb.
Yeah.
And then he makes a movie. His third film of the year.
Third film.
Is from a director named Oliver Stone.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, this movie technically broke even.
Okay, Savages?
Savages.
Savages. Okay, I never saw Savages, but I know what it is.
But it bare. Okay, so the grand total... okay, so that movie made about $47 million.
And it probably cost that
on
to
a
make
budget
or less.
Around 45. Right. So he marginally made a little money, but he's in the hole about $400 million. How much did John Carter
How much
lose?
Did John Carter gross then?
John Carter's lifetime gross, $73 million.
And that's worldwide, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And
no, domestic total.
Oh, that's just domestic?
So I don't know what it did grow. Okay.
But it still cost $200 million to make, so you're looking
$250 million budget.
Yeah.
So Taylor Kitsch is about $400
million
in the hole.
That's tough.
On his three pictures. Well, we barely broke even on Savage.
Yeah, he's...
And the guy's a stiff, and they tried to make him a star.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Well,
it might not entirely be his fault that the studios thought he was hot.
Yeah.
It's his fault for being the boringest actor I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you know, but you wonder if anyone would have made John Carter. And probably not, but it's still you're that guy. You know, Sam Worthington went through that, too, where they put him in everything. Before he ever got famous, he was in Terminator, the Terminator, that shitty Terminator in the future movie.
Yeah.
And then they put him in Avatar, and so he was in this. And some guys just get hot, and they just end up attached to every project.
Yep.
And even that's just from screen tests and stuff. And they go, oh, he's in this. He'll be great in that. So
Taylor Kitsch is, to me, just the reason I put him on the list.
Yeah.
He's the symptom of everything that's wrong with Hollywood. They don't cast a movie based on who'd be good in this.
Yeah.
They cast the movie based on, gee, who's hot and all the casting agents need to have him.
Sure.
Taylor Kitsch, they thought he looked good. Kid was a terrible actor.
Right.
Now, Chris Hemsworth turned out to be a pretty decent star.
Okay, yeah.
Who's the guy's in Thor?
Yeah.
He had the reverse happen.
Yeah.
Well, he had a couple movies sit on the shelf, and then he became a star.
Yeah.
Whereas Taylor Kitsch, all his shit hit at once, and it all
And I'll bomb.
Pancaked.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
You know, it's something like that. You know, maybe when the first one sucks, it all rolls downhill where, you know, oh, shit, the guy from John Carter's in this. Mm-hmm. And probably not skip that one. So then you skip Battleship. And then you get to Savages and go, oh, I never heard of Taylor Kitsch. Who the fuck is that guy?
Mm-hmm.
So that hurts you. All right. So that's your number three. All right. Now go to number two now for me.
No, it's my number four.
Whoa.
Yeah, you did your four. That was my four.
Wait a minute. I've been writing yours down, and I've got you up to three.
Yeah, Kitsch was my four. You're on
your three. No, your Republicans were four.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm on
all
two.
Right, fine.
I'm
okay.
On two.
Right.
I love, again, you have no numbers there. I have numbers.
I'm just.
Are you out of sorts?
I got a different system. All right,
okay,
I'm
but you have two left to pick, okay? So just remember that. You got two left. Okay. Corey's all upset. I think he threw Mike Love up, and you have two left.
And Mike Love jumped up. Okay,
Mike Love was six.
Was worthy.
Olbermann was five. The Republicans were four.
Okay.
Kitsch is three.
Okay.
So we're at two, but I'm going to give my two first.
All right, good.
My number two is Karen Klein.
Do you
have any idea who Karen Klein is? She didn't make your list.
No,
Karen Klein is the bullied school bus monitor that was on YouTube, and she received $648,000. From like a Kickstarter campaign to give her money because everyone felt bad for her. And guess what she did with the money, Corey? What do you think she did with $648,000 that really she did nothing to deserve whatsoever and was just given to her out of the kindness of people's hearts? What do you think you would do with that money if that was you?
What did she do with that money?
She fucking kept it and went on vacation. Listen, this old biddy, look up Karen Klein. Find out this old broad. She looks like somebody's grandmother. Her job is to sit on the school bus and make sure kids don't misbehave. So kids being kids, what do they go? Look at the old fat old lady, and you're so fat. And I think they did say they wanted to kill her. And they did some stuff that it was admittedly not nice to do to some lady. But what does she do? She just sits there in her fucking seat and cries and lets the kids. It's your job to take care of these kids. You know what? They hired you for a job, and you sucked at it. And then the stupid fucking people in this country decide, oh, we're going to give her a bunch of money because you're on YouTube getting made fun of. Well, you know what? I did some YouTube clips of you, and I got made the fuck fun of to the tune of probably $3 to $4 million, some of the shit they said about us. But you know what? I'm not crying about it. And I'm certainly not. Why not take the $600,000 because you did nothing to get this money and say, I care about children. It's my job to take care of kids. You know what I'll do? I'll make a scholarship.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
I'll send some kids to college. Maybe I'll do something to help children. But no, I'm going to Disney World with my grandchildren because I suck at my job. You suck. All you do is just sit there and you let kids do whatever they want. Why are we paying you money? And that's our fucking tax dollars, right? That's our tax monies coming out of my pocket to pay you to sit on your fat ass while kids throw shit at you and put it on YouTube. Fuck you and fuck your money, you bitch.
I thought you were going to say it was the girl who won the lottery and was still taking food stamps.
Yeah, listen.
Because she was another treasure.
There's only 10 names on the list. But, I mean, listen, because that's the thing with this, too. Everyone felt bad for this lady. Mm-hmm. And listen, what happened to her wasn't the nicest thing in the world.
Sure.
But you know what? If you were doing your job, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, put the camera away, you dumb little punks.
Mm-hmm.
But shut up. Why don't you shut up and go to the principal's office?
Ask John Tenney's opinion on this.
John Tenney's a former school bus driver. Whatever. I mean, you know what? Look, kids are going to be kids. And you can't sit there and go like, oh, these kids are the worst. We'll give you money. Whoever started that Kickstarter campaign, you're 2B. You're number 2B of this. Oh, we'll give this old lady money because people made fun of her. I feel bad. You know what? Stop feeling bad, people. Whoever you are, oh, you're on Facebook and you feel bad for this person in a picture or this person. I feel bad. Stop feeling bad. You should feel good that it ain't you that's got to have a shitty job sitting on a school bus having 12-year-olds throw fucking paper clips in your hair. You should feel good about that. Not feel bad for some old lady.
Wow.
Bunch of fucking...
Well, Joel,
who's $648,000 for nothing? You did nothing. And then they give you the money and you get Gawker, who I've had problems with Gawker this year that people will find out about on, the TV episode that we're going to do. But they did a whole thing, and this was the title of it. And it was great. It said, don't take that money, school bus, bullied school bus lady. They wrote a whole editorial about it. Like, you're going to look as bad as these people if you do it. But you know what? She took the fucking money.
Well, that's America for you, isn't it?
And it's one of those 24-hour news cycles things that the Today Show's got to have her on and do a sit-down exclusive, and this person's got to have her on, and everyone feels bad, and Oprah's crying for her, and this and Barbara Walters and the ladies on The View are like, oh, my God, we can't believe what happened to this woman. And what they just realize, she's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
If she did her job, those kids don't do shit.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, that's pretty hard to argue with.
Yeah. You know, is it as bad as, you know, somebody who ripped off a corporation like those? Probably not, but you know what? It's still hypocrisy.
No.
And it's still people. You know what we need in this country? We need something. And you know, if we would just say this is what we should say to people, maybe it should be a show. Maybe I should host that show. I don't know what it would be. But this is what we need to do in America. We need to tell people they suck more. Because, you know, and when I say you suck at something, it's not even a personal attack. Because people will go into people's, you know, gender and their religion or what they're fat or they're ugly or whatever. Why don't you say you suck? Because you could say that about the Detroit Lions. You suck. You're not good at what you do. Detroit Lions secondary.
The Lions
you
suck. Yeah,
you don't need to say anything else about, well, it's because when we go into nickel, we don't have the safeties to do the cover. No. You just got to tell people they suck. This lady sucks.
Well, that's what I was going to say about one of the guys I scratched off, A-Rod.
A-Rod.
Boy, did he suck.
He sucked, yeah. Well, the Tigers hitters in the World Series. Yeah. You guys were paid to hit home runs. You guys put guys on base. You can't do it. You suck. You know, you don't have to get all personal, but saying somebody sucks is worse than picking on somebody for something else nowadays.
Sure.
And all you're doing is picking on somebody's performance.
Well, it's part of
I'm not picking on this lady because she's old or she's overweight. She did a shitty job.
I think, school bus drivers getting picked on is something that's always happened.
Mitt Romney sucks.
That's true.
All these guys suck. But people don't want to say Mitt Romney sucks, so they'll make fun that he's a Mormon. They'll make fun of he can't sing as good as Obama. He can't do this. He can't do that. But he sucks.
Yeah, he sucked at pretty much everything.
Okay.
Boy, where are we at now?
You're giving me number two. You're giving me number two.
Oh.
And then we're gonna bring this home.
My number. I don't have so many names left over.
Well, you got to come down to two. Cole.
You know, my number two, and I'm sure that you have this guy maybe on your list.
Maybe on my extras list.
Now we could have put a gentleman. I think everybody's expecting a gentleman who caused untold damage physically and sexually. Huh? To children.
Huh?
But I think that scandal extended into the last year.
Oh.
I'm now going to take a gentleman who has done the psychic raping of all our childhoods. Gentleman who refused to lube it up, who didn't even spit on it first, and metaphorically raped the childhoods
between
the ages
about.
Of 30 and 45.
All right, and that would be...
Number two.
Yeah. Right.
George Lucas.
George Lucas. All
That's
right.
my number two.
Well, listen, I mean, you could say Lucas did a good thing by selling,
Who did he sell Lucas it to? Film.
To Disney. Who
Who's going to... Who released John Carter?
Yeah, that's true.
Of Mars.
Did you see the Stormtrooper working on Extreme Home Makeover?
That's exactly what
they
I'm talking
that.
About.
They did that. It was.
There is no product on Earth that is more... Already blatantly marketed, wasted. It's just all, what was once a creative enterprise has been stretched, pressed, flattened, and extruded through a pump and shoved up our asses without lube for 35 years now. And that is Star Wars. And it's enough already. And those prequel movies.
Yeah. Terrible.
That second prequel movie was so god awful. I almost give an apology for the. I sort of liked Phantom Menace on some level.
Okay.
I did not like Jar Jar Binks for God's sakes. No one on earth did. But George Lucas, people have been hating him since 1983 when he brought the Ewoks in and took a dump all over what is, in some respects, the most successful, in many respects, the most successful creative enterprise of. The last 100 years.
Right, yeah. You could say that, yeah.
He took it and just really let it dribble all over everything, and now he's going to sell it out to Disney.
So now, your problem is that they're just going to make more Star Wars when you wish they'd let it die?
Yes! Let the shit die!
Well, but the feeling is, though, among some people, well, finally Lucas is gone, and we're going to get guys like Brad Bird and Matthew Vaughn and some of these guys. are going to get a crack at making these movies, and they've made good stuff.
You know who
so,
they're going to give a crack to?
Yeah, who's that?
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to suck?
I don't know if Christopher Nolan's
Star Wars.
Shot.
That's what's going to
suck.
Well,
okay.
Because you know what's going to happen?
You know what?
We're going to get mopey Jedis. That's what's going to fucking happen. We're not going to have the magic and the fun and the excitement of the first two Star Wars movies. We're going to get the Star Wars Christmas special. Yeah. That's what we're going to get. We're going to you're gonna get Reba McEntire.
No.
You're going to get Trace Adkins singing with Chewbacca. Okay. You're going to get the worst shit on earth.
Let me take you to something, another great piece of cultural pop culture here that I know we both love, something called The Late Shift. And in The Late Shift, I think more in the movie, although it's in the book, there's a scene when David Letterman's talking to his agent. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was Peter LaSalle, I guess, who was his advisor.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I really want this Tonight Show, and Leno is doing it already. When you're doing Peter LaSalle, he looks at me and goes, look, David, it's damaged goods. It doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And that's Tonight Show that Letterman wanted to host had been ruined by NBC. It had been ruined by Leno. And this Star Wars is already ruined.
Yeah.
It's dead already. So you can't, you know what I'm saying? It's over. It's damaged. It'll never be that. Whatever it was to you, it will never be that again. And it can't ever be to a new kid or a kid who's just growing up now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't watch Star Wars, the original 77 Star Wars, and take it out of the context of Jar Jar Binks and the Phantom Menace and all that bullshit and the Clone Wars. Because it exists in that world. They're aware of all of that.
Right.
So it can't ever exist in that vacuum that we saw those movies in.
Well,
it will never happen again. It can't be that.
Case in point, The Hobbit.
Yeah.
The Hobbit was a book
that
came out in, what, 1937, 38,
something like that. Yeah,
And it was beloved, and everybody loved The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And they loved The Hobbit as it was for 20 years.
Yeah.
Till the 50s, the late 50s, or whenever Lord of the Rings came out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Lord of the Rings came out, Tolkien went, oh, shit, that doesn't make sense now.
Right.
The Hobbit is connected to this, but I didn't do the groundwork 30 years. You know, I didn't do the groundwork in 37. Mm-hmm. To like put this all together. So he went back and he edited The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And everybody blames Lucas for this shit and going back and retrofitting things.
Yeah, revisionist
guess what?
History.
Tolkien did that. And who did Lucas rip off?
Yeah.
Tolkien.
Yeah, in some respects he ripped off.
Lucas's genius is he ripped everybody off.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He ripped off Tolkien.
Yeah.
He ripped off Stanley and Jack Kirby. He ripped off the Flash Gordon series,
Akira Kurosawa.
Yeah,
no, I mean there's John Ford. I mean all those people.
There's certainly some Marvel comics in Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
There's some of that. He ripped off all of these people.
Yeah,
but Tolkien went back, and now The Hobbit does not exist in the way that people remembered The Hobbit originally. Because and then in the movie that's coming out now, The Hobbit is the prequel to the ones they've already done. Yeah. So they had to go back and put shit into it. That matched up.
The Hobbit is not, because we've seen it, I guess probably some people are starting to see it now, but it is not dissimilar from the prequels to Star Wars.
Yeah.
It has that.
Yeah.
I mean, even the guy with the rabbits is sort of the Jar Jar Binks.
They threw him in there.
Yeah, they threw him in there.
The guy with the bird shit on his head?
Yeah.
Well, that made no sense.
So, anyway.
Radagast the Brown.
So basically, Lucas.
Lucas has been a criminal for a long time in terms of his willingness to exploit his franchise.
Yeah.
By the way, George Lucas, who was the creative rebel in The Maverick, who said, I'm not going to let the studios fuck me over and dictate how I'm going to do this, so I'm going to take creative control over Star Wars. And he got the rights to the merchandising, and he got points on the back end, and changed Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And now he sends it to the Evil Empire, which has been gradually buying up every property it can. They bought up Marvel. They bought up the Muppets. Now they own Star Wars. They are the Empire.
Yeah.
And the Rebellion just sold themselves. They just Lando Calrissian just shook the hand of Darth Vader.
Listen, I mean,
and sold out.
But again, it's damaged goods. It's not.
It is damaged goods.
Disney.
But now the problem is the fucking awful brand.
I don't know if Disney's going to do anything worse with it than Lucas already did with it. So I mean, I agree. Lucas is an asshole. I'm giving him more of historical status than I would say for his actions in 2012. But
Lucas, by the way, there was a 20-year gap between Star Wars movies.
Yeah, there was.
He didn't really think
he wanted to be an artist and let it die and let it go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's on a schedule.
Yeah.
Now it's on a quarterly timetable.
Yeah. Every 2 years, new Star Wars.
It's
going to
get fucking pumped into you.
Oh, yeah.
This, you know what I mean? Now Star Wars, which has already done immense damage to us, is now our celly.
Right.
It's now it is cold bone.
yeah.
our cellmate in Block H. And we're not on our own schedule anymore.
Well,
we're on Cold Bone's schedule. And when he wants a piece of that ass, he's going to get
well,
in there
I feel
and
more,
shove more Taco Bell Star Wars merchandising garbage up our asses.
I feel the more better. I would draw more of an analogy to this is a well. The well has run dry.
Yeah.
But yet they're still going to take whatever water's left in there and charge us more for it.
Yeah.
So,
you know what Star Wars is? It's fracking. Now they're drilling deep into the earth and pumping shit in there and blowing it up.
Oh, shit.
That's what it is.
Right.
They're fracking my dreams.
Right,
and
let me
frack
give you, the...
George Lucas, you goitery, fat-necked, beard-having, I'm wearing a plaid flannel so I can't really comment on his wardrobe. You gump. Go make another Red Tails, you fucking bitch. You and your selling out to the mouse house.
All right, he's done. He'll be dead soon. All right. George Lucas.
But he, you know what the problem is?
Yeah.
Star Wars could have died and gone away. But now he sold it to the House of Mouse.
You know, anybody, here's the thing. Anybody that would have had that franchise, had Lucas not had it, would have made those bad prequels in the 80s or in the 90s. And so, you know, you sort of go... He did hold on to that legacy till, you know, 97, I guess, when he did the special editions. Now, did Disney ever say, just one more thing, because we got to get moving along. Are they ever going to restore the Star Wars movies to their original states?
Of course they
Well, good, because that would be something that Lucas was never going to do. That Lucas was never going to do that fans would appreciate.
Well, if they can
to get an HD version of the original 1977 Star Wars as it appeared, the theatrical cut, no enhancements, none of that stuff, people would dig that.
Here's why we're going to make the Star Wars unenhanced sequels.
Why is that?
Because there's a quarter and a penny in it. That's why.
Because
they can squeeze.
Well, what
a
nickel. Mean, listen,
they can squeeze.
I'm fine with that. I'll give them my money. You got my money.
Yeah.
You got my money on the unenhanced sequels. So give me those. Give me the original trilogy. The original three movies was none of the bullshit.
Yeah.
On a Blu-ray HD, I'll give you my money. Because I haven't bought the Star Wars Blu-rays.
No.
That six-disc set that came out last year, I didn't buy those.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, nah, I don't know. I've got all the Star Wars movies, including the prequels, on DVD, which now look like shit on my giant plasma screen. But I've got them there.
Yeah.
And that's
laser discs are bad, boy.
No, the DVDs are bad.
Yeah, I know.
The laser discs I sold.
But the laser discs are the ones everybody loves because they have
I know. And that's why.
And they look like.
I still got $100 for those, I think.
I'll tell you what, forehead VCR looks better than your laser disc at this point. All right. You're number one, Joel.
This is it. God, I'm wondering if we picked the same guy for number one.
We'll see.
All right. Well, now this is guy. Now I had to go. And normally, look, sports are flip. Sports are never important. Sports don't mean shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much you stand out and root for your team or you claim to give a fuck or what you spend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sports don't mean jack fucking shit in this world. But this guy, this fucking asshole, is the biggest asshole of the year. And I put this, I don't know, I've done assholes of the year for 4 years. This guy is at the top of the all-time asshole list.
Yeah.
I am nominating his name for the douchebag hotline. The number one asshole of 2012 is Lance Armstrong.
Wow. Right.
Lance Armstrong. Let me explain. For those of you that don't know, there's a little race they call the Tour de France. And the Tour de France is a bicycle tour all over France. And it's apparently, according to people historically, the hardest event in sports to win. It's almost impossible to win. There's so many competitors, and it is so physically grueling that no one could win it. Well, Mr. Lance Armstrong comes around, and I don't know what year he started winning these, but let's call it the late 90s amongst
1997.
Friends. 1997, Lance Armstrong wins the Tour de France. Unbelievable. Amazing. An American wins the Tour de France. Holy shit. Fucking goddamn it. Actually, I think Greg LeMond had won it before that, but still, Lance Armstrong, big deal. Lance Armstrong wins more Tour de France. Boom, boom, Tour de France, Tour de France, Tour de France. Holy shit, this guy might be the greatest athlete of all time. Oh, no. But his career shot down, stricken by cancer. Lance Armstrong will never bike race again. What will we do? But Lance Armstrong's a Superman. He's not built like you and me, Corey. Cancer can't stop him. No, we'll cut his ball off. We'll send him right back out there. So Lance Armstrong comes back. And from the cancer, he comes back. He wins more at Tour de France's until he wins 7 amazing Tour de France's. When ESPN does their Athletes of the Century, he was in the, I don't know what number he was, but he was in the mix of considered the greatest athlete of all time. But what happens? Oh, steroid scandals and PEDs and what was the blood? The IPO? What do they call the blood? What is it? PPO? The stuff you put in the blood. I don't know. They put some in blood to help you EPO. So all these scandals are coming out, and Lance's teammates are getting busted right now. They're getting busted. Oh, shit. Well, Lance was like, I never did anything. Well, I don't know what those guys were doing, but I wasn't up to anything. Meanwhile, Lance is dating Sheryl Crow. He's a big celebrity. He's the leader of Live Strong Charities.
He's riding
raising
bikes with,
money.
Riding bikes with Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, A-list,
yeah.
Star, top of the name, whatever. Transcending
Jake
sports.
Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, transcending sports, Lance Armstrong. Then it comes out, the guys are like, look, Lance was doing all that shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wasn't doing shit. Then the next guy from the team, well, Lance was kind of actually in charge of the whole. It was a whole scheme. It was systematic, and Lance was the guy in charge. No, Lance, that's not me. That's not me. Then they're fucking start investigating. The Tour de France people going, yeah, I think we're going to investigate Lance. Like, Lance is like, no, nothing. You got nothing on me. Then more guys start to flip. Lance finally goes, you know what? I'm not going to be part of this charade anymore. I give back all my Tour de France titles. I give up my leadership of the Live Strong charity that I founded.
Mm-hmm.
I step down from that. I'm a shell of my former self.
Yeah.
The guy's riding a Schwinn somewhere around mm-hmm. the park somewhere in Austin, Texas. The guy's a complete fraud. Everything that this guy achieved, the highest, considered the greatest name in the history of sports by some at the time. Yeah. Was a complete and total fraud. Cycling mm-hmm. is a drug sport. The guy who takes them, I mean, look, they're all good cyclists. We're not saying Lance can't ride a fucking bike because he can.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was a fraud. The whole thing was a sham. He's lying there on his bed. He's getting treated for cancer. He says, what do you do? The doctor says, Lance, you ever do anything drugs? And he's reading off his list of drugs that he took. And then this woman that's sitting there with him, one of his, I think it was his training partner's uh-huh. wife, goes and testifies to the counsel that's investigating him. No, I never did that. Come on. Give it up. Because not only are you a fraud, not only did you not deserve to win any of those titles, and sure, if everyone's on drugs, maybe you were the best guy. But then you gave yourself cancer, essentially. I mean, I don't know. I ain't a doctor, but let's assume taking that many drugs actually raises the chance that you might get cancer.
Yeah.
Then you become the hero of, you're Mr. Cancer Fighter. Now you put a big S on your chest and run around like, I'll fight cancer. I'll beat cancer. You fucking gave yourself cancer, you dick. And now you're a hero for fighting cancer? It's like this guy's whole world came crumbling down in 2000.
Yeah.
I mean, literally the most legendary prick of all time. I mean, how can you do worse? I mean, how can you be a bigger... I don't care Roger Clemens, any of these guys. Those guys had to throw a fucking ball accurately down at the... I mean, you know what I mean? Lance sit there and pedal the bike.
Well, look, I don't know anything really. I've watched the Tour de France, and...
Right,
they go the entire length of Paris or France,
the country of France. Yeah.
They cross
it's mountains
France,
and all kinds of shit,
and they got to go up mountains.
Yeah,
and it's hardcore.
It's hard. It's very hard.
So I don't know if Lance Armstrong might not have been the greatest cycler of all time because they were all doing it.
I get that argument, but it's still
now. I also my argument why Lance Armstrong is an asshole is that he made people care about cycling.
Well, okay.
No American yeah. should give a shit right. about the Tour de France.
Yeah.
The Tour de France ought to be a thing they do in France.
Yeah. It stays there. Yeah.
Really? Right. Yeah, good. Stick. You know what?
Yeah.
Hey, you know who cares about the Mackinac to
right.
Where's the
Port Huron to Mackinac
Port Huron
race?
Huron
yeah.
Mackinac
yeah.
race?
Right.
Not a soul outside of Michigan. Stick with it.
But here's the thing. The pure numbers of his win is what made people care. You know what I mean? When guys would win the Tour de France and no one care. You know, Greg LeMond won it once yeah. or twice, and people were like, kind of like, Greg LeMond was kind of famous, but not like Lance Armstrong. So Lance Armstrong, he just said, hey, I know how to win this. And he knew how to win it because he was the king of the drugs.
Has anybody come after Greg LeMond, by the way?
As far as what? What Greg LeMond was doing?
Doping?
I'm not sure what Greg LeMond... Landis, with Floyd Landis, who
Floyd
came,
Landis won one, immediately called him,
and he immediately got busted. But see, Lance knew how to beat all the tests. Lance knew how to cycle and beat all tests.
Well,
and
my question is, if a Frenchman got caught doing this,
sure,
and he,
I think they have been caught.
I know, but if a Frenchman had won the Tour de France, this is kind of a deal like where I don't think a Frenchman's won the Tour de France in a while,
yeah.
thanks to Lance Armstrong,
yeah.
and they're really offended by
yeah.
him. It's kind of like the British.
Well, it's the whole thing of,
yeah.
what made you good at it was that you, you know, if it's a drug sport and you get caught, then okay, you got caught and you give it, you know, like Ben Johnson.
Is anybody really upset with, well, people, no, Ben Johnson was ruined. And
okay, but what do you think Carl Lewis was doing when, do you think Carl Lewis was clean in that race? Do you think Carl Lewis hadn't used any performance enhancers going into that? Of course he did.
See, to
and
me,
Ben Johnson got caught. And you know, Ben Johnson's the guy that scandalized.
Right.
And you know what? One day it may come out. I don't know if they can prove later what Carl Lewis did or didn't do. But that was the thing with Armstrong. He always got away with it. When Floyd Landis went down, he denied. Let all of the flunkies, let him take all their titles. But I'm Lance Armstrong. I'm the king of the world. I'm going to fucking do, you know. And that's why I have respect for like a guy like a Jose Canseco. He came around, I did steroids.
Sure.
It helped.
But you know,
it helped me play baseball, and I needed to hit the home runs. I needed the money. I needed the contract. And all these other guys denied it.
I don't know.
Couldn't deny it anymore.
Maybe it's a failing in me, but I'm fairly ambivalent to all cheating in sports. It doesn't fire me up. It doesn't get me upset.
But it's the cancer thing, too. That gets me.
Well, sure. No, and you know what? And the Lance Armstrong, the extent to which he fought this and claimed he didn't do it.
That's part of it, too.
Is pretty dickish. Yeah. I'll give you that. I can't get fired up about it because I just frankly don't care about Lance Armstrong.
Sure.
And never really have.
Oh.
But he's a big deal. I don't know why he's a big deal.
Right.
It's a Tour de France. Who are we kidding? Pretending the Tour de France matters.
But it only he made it matter. That's the thing about him.
Yeah.
He was so in the spotlight that everything he did was covered, and who he was dating and the whole thing and his cancer struggle and blah blah blah, and it was all a fucking charade. It was all a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I can't argue it.
And this year it all came tumbling down on his fucking head.
Yeah, he also made Sheryl Crow more famous. So that's,
you know, she got cancer, too.
Oh, yeah.
So you can say what
from his dick juice?
I'm not saying that, but do you think that Sheryl Crow took some training advice from Lance Armstrong?
Yeah, maybe.
And how do you think that training went down?
I think that...
You don't think that didn't involve a few needles?
I think just being around... Kid Rock probably gave her the cancer. I think just being in the vicinity.
Singing a duet with Kid Rock.
Look, you know what? Just because I'm apathetic to the notion of doping and bike racing because I think they all do it.
Yeah.
You're right. Lance Armstrong was the poster boy for it.
Exactly.
He's an asshole.
Right. It's one of those things. The bigger a star you got from your illegal shit, the harder you should go down when the shit goes down.
Sure.
That's the way I look at it.
Sure.
And he's gone way down, and thank fucking God.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Absolutely.
All right. That's my number one asshole of the year.
Speaking of
I've nominated him for our douchebag hotline. Corey, did not pick Lance Armstrong, I'm guessing, as his number one.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, Lance Armstrong has certainly earned his infamy.
Sure.
But this gentleman, boy, I don't know. This was such a tough call on my number one of the year. I had so many choices. I had so many
opportunities. There's a lot of assholery going around.
I'm dying.
We've only so far hit one name the same. So.
I'm dying to name Donald Trump. Asshole of the year.
Okay.
I'm dying. Yeah. I'm dying to name the late, great Joe Paterno.
Sure.
Asshole of the year.
Yeah, God, you can't argue with that. I mean,
but the number one asshole of the year.
I think I know who you're going with.
Karl Rove.
Karl Rove.
Now, granted, Karl's had a career of being an asshole for a good 30 years now. The guy's been an asshole. He was, as they called him, Bush's brain.
Right, okay.
And we all know what a shitty president George Bush was.
Yeah.
And if you're the brain of that operation, good Lord.
Yeah.
You're the brain of the operation that allowed 9/11 to happen. But Karl Rove is, you know, political operative. He's been on Fox News for several years now in his post-Bush career, in his post-electoral career. But more importantly, what Karl Rove does is that Karl Rove, much like Grover Norquist, is the head of a lobbying organization. He's the head of what they call a super PAC, which is, of course, thanks to Citizens United, the ruling of the Supreme Court.
Right.
We now have unlimited sources of money that are available in politics, not just in campaigns. Did you notice in Michigan that we're still getting political ads for Right to Work?
It's funny.
After the election,
they all came back when the whole shit went down.
You notice that?
Yeah.
So Karl Rove has been the leading propagandist in America. He's been, you know, and he got Bush elected twice.
Yeah.
And so he's been considered a genius. But Karl Rove, what he did is he took all of this money that he raised from his super PAC,
Yeah.
Which is what is called like Priorities USA. Let me look what the name of the goddamn thing is. Yeah. Karl Rove gathered all this money from all of these wealthy donors. He put all of this money, unprecedented sums, hundreds of millions of dollars. He brought it into the election. He pumped it onto television. He put it into ads, not just for Mitt Romney, but for congressional races all across and up and down the ticket, and for ballot issues that were on in states all across the country. Right? What did he get out of this vast sum of money from American Crossroads, his super PAC?
What did he get?
Bupkis balls.
Okay.
He got the exact results as Taylor Kitsch got at the fucking box office. He put up a big stink egg.
Is it?
And so not only what it shows is the venomous quality. Now, the only people that won in this election, aside from Obama, were the local television affiliates.
Yeah.
Because they got a shit ton of cash handed to them. And it probably propped up some stations.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not that's going to go kick back to the talent, who knows?
Okay.
But these stations got fat, like,
because he bought ads, is what you're saying.
Because the super PACs, and it wasn't just Karl Rove, but he had one of the biggest and most successful ones. These super PACs flooded money. Now, believe me, there was money on the Democrat side, and Obama certainly had no shortage of ads. We just had the good fortune to be in a state in which they didn't put a lot of ads because they pretty much knew what was going to happen.
The outcome was known. Sorry.
So we were not in a contested state. If we lived in Ohio, we'd want to shoot ourselves from all the political ads. There were already enough political ads. Locally, there was this guy, Matty Maroon, who's this old fart that owns the bridge in Detroit. And he owns the bridge. He's like a troll.
The bridge to Canada. Yeah,
yeah, he's like a troll. And he owns a bridge. And he didn't want the government, which Canada wanted to build a bridge. He put up like $60, $70 million to prevent them to put ads against it for a ballot initiative that he got on the ballot to try and block it. He got fucking bupkis from it.
Right.
Karl Rove
took
a fucking belly flop nosedive five times bigger than what this Matty Maroon guy did. And then the night of the election, he goes on Fox News where he's been this bloated necklace fucking gobbledygook, this goon.
Right.
He's been spouting bullshit the whole time. He goes on Fox News and has a meltdown on the night of the election.
Right.
The whole network was in hysterics. Gretchen Carlson was on the verge of tears. The whole network, because they saw what was happening.
Right. They saw that Romney was losing.
And that they'd been doing nothing but pumping Romney full of love for like 10 months. Rove has a meltdown on camera like he's the guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark when they open up, when they open up the Ark.
Yeah.
His face literally melts. His face falls off his body. He has a meltdown. He starts screaming that Ohio's not right. The numbers are wrong. Yeah. It hasn't been counted properly. Cuyahoga County's not in, even though that's Cleveland, which is a fucking Democratic county. And he starts arguing with his own network in the newsroom. And then Megyn Kelly's got to go into the decision room where the guys count the numbers and make the calls.
The bean counters are in there.
And then they go, no, Carl, you're fucking wrong.
Yeah,
and he's still going, Mah! And he has a temper tantrum. Right. And I'll tell you what, why I picked Karl Rove as number one asshole, because I had so many choices of guys that were completely wrong about the election. Morris was on there.
Right, I mean, I mentioned that
All these guys who called Romney and said he was going to win and knew that he wasn't going to win, and they all put out lies and bullshit. No one put his money where his big steaming anus was than Karl Rove.
But I mean, you know,
and you know what? He delivered nothing for the people that invested in him.
Yeah, he done? Is he ruined or is he coming back?
I don't know what his hold is over. I'm not a conservative, so I don't know what his hold is over them. But he was banned from Fox for a while, and he was off the air for 3 weeks because they were like, enough of your nonsense.
You know,
so nobody's a bigger dick. So call in 610-552-0746.
Yes.
Tell us if you want Lance Armstrong or Karl Rove.
It would be the Karl Rove Memorial Douchebag Hotline.
Or Lance Armstrong.
What about the Armstrong Rove Douchebag?
Yeah.
We could call it. We could hyphenate it if that's better.
Send your comments and letters and messages.
We could make it the Taylor Swift Douchebag.
The Taylor Swift. What I'm saying, we have a potential candidate. Now, Joel and I feel that the top two are more deserving of this title than the others.
Yeah.
But call in and give us your opinion.
Well, maybe it should be the Kevin Clash Douchebag Hotline.
Could be.
you know, the Mike Love douchebag hotline.
The Mike Love. Let's call the Love phone.
The Taylor Kitsch hotline.
And now, granted, we get about two calls a year on this thing.
We get more than that.
610-552.
Yeah, please call in. We will play your comments if you want them on the
show.
Leave
a message. You don't actually talk to us because
it's a voice.
I'm not giving you my cell phone number, so you can call and bug me from Yellowknife. But what I'm saying is call in. Give us your votes. Comment on the Facebook page. We don't have a Facebook page. Comment on the whatever.
It's the front page of JoelRadio.net. You can leave your comments.
Joel, do you have any, as we wrap this beautiful...
Well, we got to give extra assholes. I know I told you we have 15 minutes left, but run over. Let's try to get through it. It's other assholes. Now, I'll do my list first, and then you do your list, okay? And feel free to stop me and comment.
Nothing as big as Oprah. Let me tell you.
No one is big. Look, Oprah's on my list. But again, what did Oprah really do? I think just other than that network going down the tubes, I think that's... You know.
And you know what? We'll also accept your nominees.
Oh, yeah.
For the Asshole Hall of Fame.
Yes, well, that's our new one. We'll come up with
and
that.
And anyone who's previously won Asshole of the Year, you're on the ballot.
I have some of my previous winners. I pulled them up on the computer. I had LeBron James in 2010.
Sure.
And then in number two was Gary Coleman's wife that let him die that year. And then in 2011, see, now I don't know if I, but I had Natalie Maines, Eddie Vedder, Johnny Depp, and Peter Jackson for championing the release of the West Memphis 3, even though they were guilty. I guess I was on a jag about them last year.
You were upset about
maybe
that.
Not so much. Kim Kardashian was my number two.
Well,
so,
sure.
Well, that was because she got married that year. So that was she definitely could be a place in the Asshole Hall of Fame.
We will take nominations for the Asshole Hall of Fame, and maybe we'll do
and
that.
And all the Penn State guys were last year, so I didn't count them this year. All right, let's
maybe we'll take into consideration. We'll call it the Joe Paterno Asshole Hall of Fame. And what we'll do... We'll
the Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah, right. Hell, yeah. Right. And you give us your nomination, 610-552-0776. Right. So not only will we rename the hotline, we will then later, it's a certain date, do an Asshole of a Lifetime show.
Absolutely.
And we will enshrine
a
winner.
I'm fine with that. All right, let me give a couple, just some of my extra assholes, and I'll try to do these quickly, but I may have to further explain why someone... Angus T. Jones, he's the kid from Two and a Half Men, who came out and said, Two and a Half Men is garbage, you shouldn't watch it. Now listen, he's completely right, but he did it under the thumb of, like, Christians, and you probably shouldn't do that when you're on the show. You're sort of a dick for selling out your own show.
Well, so it was really the Christian content that offended me more.
Right, well, but you can't sell out the show you're on. I mean, come on, dude, you're getting paid, that's stupid.
Particularly when you're nobody.
Yeah.
You're the half man.
Here's one from earlier. Jason Russell. He made the Coney 2012 video. And then the next week, which everybody watched, 50 million people watched. The video was sort of bullshitty, but more about the guy was found naked in the street on drugs the next week, which that's pretty douchey.
Treasure.
Yeah. Jeffrey Hillman, another guy who was on the street. This is the homeless guy who was given boots when the cop found him shoeless.
Oh, nice.
Well, it turns out that this guy has a publicly financed apartment by the city of New York. And now he wants a piece of the pie of news photos of him. What a dick. What a dick. They gave him free shoes and now he's
an
asshole.
We need a bed of music behind us. You know what I mean? We need some...
we need... Want, like the saber dance?
We need like yakety sax or something.
Let me see what I got here. I can find music for you. Hold on a second. let me just keep reading though. John McAfee.
Oh, he was on my list.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that apparently killed his neighbor in Belize. And he's on the run. I guess he's coming back to America, according to what we're hearing. So anyway, that's John McAfee. Here's a guy. I just don't know what this is. Pitbull. He's sunglasses and a suit. That's all I can make out. I don't know what the music is. I don't know.
He has music.
I don't know. I just see he's like a fucking... He's like a leprechaun or something. He just shows up. Wherever Pitbull's at, the party's at. It's like, what the fuck is this guy, Pitbull? I never heard of a pit bull.
Yeah.
The pit bulls fight. That's what I know. Some fucking dude.
Anderson Cooper made my
assholes.
Okay,
there you go. That's a good one. That show is gone.
Yeah, his show got canceled.
That show is gone.
Anderson Cooper, for a lot of reasons, for being a legitimate newsman.
Yeah.
And then going and doing the stupidest, fluffy, puffy show.
Yeah.
That's worse than all the other ones and got immediately shit canned.
Yes, absolutely.
Dear Anderson Cooper, please go live with your boyfriend somewhere in Bimini. Or some, you know, you're rich enough.
Get off my TV.
Your mom was Gloria Vanderbilt. Go to St. Bart's. Chill out. Suck some dongs. I don't care what you got to do. Run some cocks through your mouth. Don't let them get it all in your beautiful silver hair. But get off my TV. I don't want to see any more of your Anderson Cooper 360, which is him taking pot shots from different guys as a circle of guys shoot loads all over him. I don't want to see you out there fucking interviewing, you know, women who wrote a book about how to be a mom and a spiritual woman. I don't need any of this pukey garbage from you. Leave that shit to Ricky Lake. Homegirl's got to eat. She needs to have a comeback. You got a day job. Go piss up a rope, Anderson Cooper.
All right. I got, I'm trying to pick a good...
I'm waiting on the music over here.
All right, let's try this. Let's see if this works. Let me see if I can pop this up.
Yeah.
See if this works for you. This is a little background music. All right, I'm also picking here... you want a little Stones? It's good for you? Okay.
We're going to have to pay for this show now.
How about Rex Ryan, the coach of the New York Jets?
I had him on my list.
Because he got Tim Tebow and didn't even fucking use the guy. Meanwhile, Mark Sanchez is quarterback, can't even fucking complete a pass.
I also have... Rex Ryan was on ESPN every minute of our lives.
Yeah, he really was. They ruined our lives. How about Jacinda Saldana? She's the nurse who killed herself after those stupid DJs. No, she's like the bus driver lady. She's just an idiot. She sucked at her job. That call never should have gotten through. And now she feels bad. I'm going to kill myself. Fuck you.
Oh, my God. You're going to blame the woman who killed herself?
Exactly. She's an idiot.
Wow. What were those wacky Australian DJs, too?
Yeah, you know what? But they're just DJs being DJs.
I'm with you.
All right, how about Arnold Schwarzenegger? I mean, it all came out about,
you know,
banging the house.
Last year, though, wasn't it?
No, I think it was this year.
I think it was really
this year.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, see, Arnold would have been higher on my list.
Because I think he left office in the state of California in January. So that's when it all broke. I've also got, how can you say no to Lindsay Lohan?
All her stuff. Yeah, I had her down. How about Nadia Suleiman?
Yeah, what did she do?
She did porn this year.
She did a self.
The Octomom who that decided to just bust her ovaries wide open and start shooting out another worthless fucking failure of the welfare state in the next 30 years. She goes out and does self-masturbation videos.
She needed the money.
And then
she literally needed the money.
Right. And now she's out there doing live court, what do you call it? Feature dancing performances at strip clubs.
All right.
Next stop, Jizz Stan. It's going to be Eight Dicks in Octomom. That's going to be the next show. You know that's coming.
That could be coming. I have Joe Biden on the list, and I'm not sure why, other than he's just kind of a hucky.
Joe's kind of just good old slappy Joe.
How about Tim Cook from Apple? I think Apple's kind of on the way down, I think he'd be reason why. He fucked up those maps. I mean, I have Oprah, of course, a legend.
I think number one, first ballot, asshole Hall of Famer.
Right, Victoria
Jackson.
Yeah, you don't like her. She's a Christian or something.
She's a nutbag, and she goes on the night of the election. She went on Twitter and put on a display. She was like, "Thank you for not showing up, Christians. You disgust me." And she was all about America just died, and she was completely unfunny in all of it.
America died when you stopped being cute, honey. That's when everyone stopped caring about you.
Yeah.
I have Jim Lampley. Now, Jim Lampley, a lot of people don't like anyway, but you see the Pacquiao fight from the other week? He said when Pacquiao got knocked out, he said Pacquiao's knockout, another tsunami to the island of the Philippines. Because the Philippines had just had a tsunami, and he compared this guy getting knocked out to the, you know, he sort of made fun of the tsunami.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, that was only from a week ago, so that was pretty bad. I mean, you want to stay in sports? NHL players and owners.
Well, I had Gary Bettman.
Assholes, yeah. NFL referees and the commissioner.
Well,
same
Roger
exact
Goodell,
thing.
Yeah, sure.
Those referees, the way they stayed out. I mean, we didn't put them on our top 10.
Oh, I have it.
What do you got?
While we're in the world of sports.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jay-Z and the Brooklyn Nets.
Just on general principle.
Just for that stupid logo.
I'm with
you. They were like, oh, he's revolutionizing the game. No, it's black and white.
Black and white, yes.
It's the boringest logo in uniform I've ever seen. Then the Brooklyn, they open their arena and their mascot comes down from the ceiling on a wire like Owen Hart. And the guy's in a night costume. And it's the stupidest dumb shit. The whole Brooklyn Nets franchise can go fuck itself.
I agree with you on that one.
Jay-Z.
I mean, I had him. I was playing sports. Jovan Belcher, he's the guy who killed his girlfriend, the Chiefs, and then killed himself.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
that's,
you know,
that,
again,
hey, wacky yucks.
Right. Yeah, it's not assholery in that sense. I mean, I've also had James Holmes, who was the that's just assholery because you did it at the midnight screening of Batman.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, trying to ruin people's good times.
Absolutely. How about Captain Francesco Schettino?
What did he... Oh!
Of the Costa
Concordia. That's a good one. Oh, shit.
I really considered putting him in my top 10.
Well, you know, listen, here's the thing. Yeah. He's Italian. I'm going to get, you know, an Italian guy. Yeah, sometimes, you know, you make, you know.
Yeah, you know why he crashed the boat, by the way?
Why is that?
This cruise ship that killed dozens of people.
Why
is that? Because he had a bimbo up in the cabin.
Hey. Hey, you better watch yourself there.
He had a hotsy-totsy, like, Romanian whore up in the cabin. What do you call it? The bridge?
Guy's got to get laid.
He's like, hey, baby, check
guy's
this out. Diddling abroad while they crash into the rocks. What a fucking asshole.
I mean, how about the Detroit Lions as a whole? That's all
sure,
I remember.
Absolutely.
The Detroit Lions. Yeah. I also had the NBC Olympics coverage. Whoever made those decisions.
Yeah,
those
sure.
I mean, just going back to hip-hop, which is no shortage of asshole in the hip-hop. How about Nicki Minaj? For being a diva and screaming at everybody on American Idol. Those tapes got out.
I had Chris Brown.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Rihanna for dating Chris Brown.
I don't know if Chris Brown did anything specifically
in
2012
what he did either,
different than he did before, but the whole existence of Chris Brown frustrates me.
He threw a drink at Drake or something.
Yeah, of no talent of any kind.
All right, else?
Honey Boo Boo, of course.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, you got to put her on the list.
Yeah, I think I'm through with my list.
How about President Morsi of Egypt?
Why? Because they're a military dictator? What are they now?
Because they elected this guy. Okay, they had two choices.
Yeah.
The one guy was a leftover from the previous regime.
Yeah.
So they went, well, fuck that. We just got rid of Mubarak. Let's not get a guy from his cabinet.
Yeah.
So they elect Morsi, and then he immediately declares himself, like, ruler for life. And, like, he didn't say that, but he took, like, powers, basically threw out all the congressional shit that they had just come up with in the previous election. So they're out there protesting again in Egypt. They're like, we just got rid of the last guy. Let's get rid of this asshole. Seth MacFarlane on General Principle.
You didn't like Ted?
Just suck my dick.
Ted was good.
Tired of you.
Otherwise, I agree with you, but Ted was good. So.
Aaron Sorkin for that stupid show.
For the newsroom.
Eddie Murphy. Just, you didn't see.
You didn't see that last word
or whatever the hell that was. Awful. So many. Linda McMahon of the WWE.
I think they're saying now she blew $60 million or something between
$60 million
for another campaign
running on the Senate, which she lost before.
Yeah,
she ran again.
Well, the McMahons save a wing of the asshole Hall of Fame for the McMahons. Really, seriously, save.
Yeah. Yeah.
They might be first ballot. They're definitely first ballot Hall of Famers.
You know how many jobbers just got a $75 a night pay cut?
I know. That's
to fund the Linda McMahon.
Yeah.
Awful. Chevy Chase for quitting Community. Like a dick.
Oh, but he's in those great Old Navy ads now, Corey. He's got quite the career going.
Oh, absolutely. We didn't mention Paula Broadwell or David Petraeus or any of those people in that mess.
Yeah.
They all can suck it.
I think I'd go Petraeus on that one just because, you're going to let your girlfriend write your book? Dude, come on.
Yeah. Head
you know
dick
what I mean?
Of
like,
them all. Karl Rove covered all the guys like Dick Morris who were wrong about the election.
Yeah.
And, of course, who could forget Amanda Bynes for being less than Lindsay Lohan and still sucking? And, of course, who could forget 2012 without Eric Hartsburg?
Eric Hartsburg is?
Got a tattoo of the Romney campaign logo on his face.
That's probably the dumbest guy of the year.
He's getting it removed.
That guy is,
Now he's like, I don't know if that was a good idea. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't get a tattoo on your face.
Yeah, that
you can throw Kat Von D in there. Anybody who's ever gotten a tattoo on their face, you're a fucking loser, and you're definitely an asshole.
An asshole of the year. Thank you, Corey. That was a tremendous, tremendous radio there, buddy. What a list. You got a lot out.
I know.
Feels good, doesn't it?
It does.
I feel nice to just. Oh. All right. Well, that's it. We're going to get out of here, everybody. I want to thank everybody for listening here to Joel Radio. Thank you so much, you guys. It's always great to do another year of fine internet radio for you folks. So thank you for listening. And again, send your thoughts, your nominations. You can write a message to us on joelradio.net. There's a little contact button.
Yes,
you can write it right on there. You can also call 610-552-0746 and tell us your thoughts on the assholes of the year. Anybody you think we missed. I thought we were pretty comprehensive. I'm happy. I'm happy with our
list. Good list.
I think and, so. So anyway, we're going to get out of here.
Pick the winner of the new name of the douchebag hotline.
Yeah, it's going to be named after one of these people today.
The Live Strong Lance Armstrong hotline. The Captain Francesco Schettino. Maybe he might get in there as a dark horse.
The Costa Concordia Health Hotline. So anyway, it's our...
Oh, Mario Lopez. How did I forget him?
And he did what this year?
He was the new host on X Factor, which made that show that already sucked even worse.
That's a possibility. I could see that. All right, well, let's get out of here. I want to wish everybody a happy 2013. Have a great new year, everybody.
And this will post right after the apocalypse.
Well,
right?
No, this is... is this? No, I think this is going to be up before, but whatever.
Maybe this will go up on the 20th.
Maybe you'll be in your bunker. Yeah, it'll be right up. For the. Then we're the assholes of the year, if that's the case. All right, we'll catch you later, folks, in next year or whenever it might be. We're out. See ya.